game.
Well, I thought we'd do a collector segment instead of DC Noise, because all I had read... I'm still on books like from 3 weeks ago.
I ain't read a lot either, so I'm no better. Yes, I only read a few things here and there.
All I read from this week was Batman, and then from last week, like Hal Jordan, and God, I can't remember what the other ones were.
I did read Hal Jordan. I did read that, and they brought Kyle back to made him regular again.
Blue Beetle was interesting, man. They brought a character, Orion, back. You know, a Lord of Atlantis.
Oh, they did? I didn't Arian, read it yet.
Arian, yeah. And it mentioned Ted's heart. You know what I mean? Like, you know how he had that heart condition in Birds of Prey?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He still has that.
He still has it. Because he was going down there to help Jaime, and the one woman was saying, hey, you got to watch it. You know, you have that heart condition. Because he was there with his, like, his light guns or whatever they're called. You know, those air compressor guns. You know how you
can see out
those things?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I liked it. It's good.
Yeah, I'll try to read it. Like, I only read, like, a few things. I read the X-Men Prime.
I haven't read that yet.
I read it just to see what it was like. I didn't know about all the anti-religion stuff in there. That was surprising. But I read
that Andraco or what was his name?
No,
I wanted to say Grenwald, but it's another guy. It's the court guy. I think he's a lawyer too. I can't remember his name.
No, this guy was a guy that he worked on TV also.
Yeah. It begins with a G, I think.
I think it's an M. It's still an M. It's a
X-Men Prime, is that what it was?
Yeah, it was X-Men Prime. What's this dude's name?
No, that can't be. That's an old X-Men Prime. This is Mark Guggenheim.
Mark Guggenheim, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I knew it was a G.
No, I thought you were talking about his first name, not his last.
No, I was like, I wanted to say Grenwald, but it's not Grenwald. I knew it was like Guggenheim.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Greg Pak and Colin Bunn. It was all of them, right?
No, this was the first issue of just the one guy, I thought. This is the first issue of the one writer.
I don't know. I have them all three listed.
They only mentioned that one guy. They only mentioned the one writer.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I read it. Even in the article that talked about it, they only mentioned Guggenheim. They don't mention anybody else. Guggenheim and the artists that put it up.
They have like Ken Lashley, Abraham Robertson, Leonard Kirk, and Gomero Otego. But it could be that this is so new that somebody just entered the shit wrong.
Could be. It's weird. Let me see. Yeah, even on the...
The credits page?
Yeah, everything on the credits. Yeah, no, it was just one story. It was just one story. And it was just one artist. And one writer.
Look at the cover, though.
No, I'm looking at the cover.
Underneath X-Men Prime, it says number one in the right-hand corner. It says Guggenheim, Bunn, and Pak.
On the one I'm looking at, it only says Guggenheim, and then it says CF, and then it says Lindstein, and then Martin. That's the one I'm looking at.
That's a weird... But you're digital. I don't know what they do to you. Maybe there's like extra content for print.
If they don't usually do that, though. They usually...
Was it a $4.99 book?
Yeah, it was a $4.99 book. Let me see. Issue one.
I like the cover. don't know who the cover artist
is. Yeah, even on the Marvel website.
It's they must only have changed the cover. This must be like a preliminary cover that I have then.
Yeah, from the ashes of Inhumans, the new team of Kitty Pryde takes the reins. And it's her team. Storm, Colossus, Nightcrawler, Old Man Logan.
The cover that I see is did you read X-Men Prime or X-Men Gold?
I'm talking about X-Men Gold. I think you're talking about X-Men Prime. Oh,
that's why.
I'm talking
Prime. That's why.
Oh, I read Prime, too. But that's why, because I kept saying Gold. Gold is only...
Yeah,
it's only,
that's right. Just Guggenheim.
Yeah, that's just the one writer, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I was like, because they don't leave. Like, usually
well,
even...
Well, you said X-Men Prime first.
Oh, I did?
I read X-Men Prime, and then I was looking at it. And I was like, oh, that's all of the writers. I wonder what.
Oh, I thought I said Gold.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is going to be a collector segment. Now, what I just going to ask you questions, kind of like I did Campbell and Bob Retall. And I kind of want to focus on like the digital stuff because I never had anybody talk digital.
But I
want to go back to when you did collect paper, and then work our way up to where you are now.
Okay, works for me.
All right, so 3, 2, 1. Welcome to Mike M's Collector's Corner, and tonight I got one of my best friends in the entire world, Daryl Taylor. Say hi, Daryl.
Hello, Mr. Myers.
Yeah, that's brought the sexy voice. And we're going to be talking about comic collecting, and the first person I had was Kyle Pettit, and he's a DC fan, but he collects both and has a lot of drawer boxes. And then I went to Chris Campbell, who's probably got the cleanest collection of anybody I know. Like his collection's small, well kept, and
his wife runs a tight ship, so
it's a tight ship. But he does a good job with what.
It's his lawyer brain.
With the space he has, he does a good job with it.
Well, it's the lawyer brain. They like detail.
Yeah.
He's a man of details.
But he works his space really well.
Like, yeah, he does.
He knows what his domain is and how it has boundaries.
Well, you definitely.
It can't go on the stove. It can't go on the kitchen table. No, because
if you break boundaries, then it all goes away.
It'll go in the garbage.
Yeah, he doesn't want it to go in the garbage, so he has to stick with the boundaries.
And then in the third episode, I had Bob Retall, who's the world record holder for recorded comic collection. I don't want to say that he has the biggest, because I'm sure there's a lot of introverts that don't record their collection that have more.
Because he doesn't buy everything. Like, there's stuff he doesn't buy anymore.
He has the largest recorded collection, which means that he went through the process. And it's a long
process. Yeah, that's a lot of time. That's a lot of work. Who got time for that?
Well,
it's too much work.
You have to go through, like, what I would have to do is I'd have to know where everything is, and you know I have a hard time with that.
Yeah.
Only that, but you have to weed out duplicates. Like, if you had 5 copies of X-Men, X-Men number 1, you can only count it once. So that, I mean, there's all kinds of rules when you're going into the record holders, what you have to do.
Yeah, that's too many rules. You're not doing all that. You going to leave your job? I mean, you don't have time for all that.
I'll never do that. But I don't know if I'll ever exceed it, because he's over the 100K mark, and I'm like more in the 60,000.
I don't know if you keep going the route you're going.
Yeah, he's dwindling.
Like, he's dwindling. You're not.
He's winding down, but you know, logic may prevail eventually. Like,
no, it won't.
It's weird. It's weird because my engineering brain knows I should do something, like go digital on some stuff and do something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but the other part of your brain.
space.
But the other part of your brain wants to have those books. Other
solutions, like, oh, I could use the fridge, I could use the stove, what could I do?
Like, what would you do if you didn't get your shipment that week? Like, what would happen if those books just magically didn't come there?
I don't know. But I haven't always been like this, Daryl. Like, I used to have a controlled monthly shipment. Yeah, I'd go to the comic shop every week, but I would have, like, a $30 weekly comic budget, and then my DCBS box would come monthly, Campbell or whatever, and that would be, like, $150. And then it kind of grew and grew. And now it's at the point where I can't grow anymore, but I need to maybe shrink a little bit.
There's nothing left to grow into. You get all of it. Like, there's nothing left for you to get into.
But I get anxiety in the other order. I do have, like, anxiety attacks because I have too much. Like the other day I was looking, me and Bill were going to record Geek Brunch, and we had a plan for 2 weeks that we were going to cover Gilliam March's Monica, which is, like, he did the art and the story. You know, it's from Titan Comics. That's a European publication.
That's a dirty book.
Well, there's titties, there's ass, there's all kind. I mean, he draws a lot of sexy women.
Wait, hold on a sec. Hold on. Be right back.
All right. His day is that.
Hello?
Is everything okay?
Yeah. She had to go to the bathroom, so I had to elbow back. You know, elbow back and forth. Okay.
Are you in a different room now, or what?
No, same room.
Oh, okay. I was hearing a lot of TV or something.
Oh, I had to turn it up. I was waiting for her. Got to turn it back down. Okay.
All right.
Where were we?
I'm glad everything's okay. I thought something. I was texting you, so, like, seeing if you were all
right. Oh, no. Just had to make sure I went back into bed.
Yeah. At least she's telling you, though. Or does she not tell you? Does she do it and then yell?
For the most part, she does. But this time I heard her moving down the hallway, so I...
Your spider sense went off.
It does, yes. That's exactly what happens. The things you train yourself to.
Yeah, it's a spider sense.
It is. It totally is.
Danger.
It does.
I was just saying that having too much can cause anxiety, too, when you can't find anything.
Well, that's what happened to me.
Yeah.
There was a point. I know. My collection never reached the apex that your collection is, but it did get to a point where I had books up in my bedroom, I had a long box up in my bedroom, I had stacks under my bed, I had, like, the recent stuff, and then I had...
Were you a pack rat? I mean, did you save everything that when you started?
Not a pack rat, but I didn't get rid of a lot of comics unless it was, like, runs that didn't really matter or duplicates of stuff that I bought over the, you know, in the 90s where you buy duplicates. I got rid, you know, like, I would sell it or something, get rid of the duplicates. But it was just so much, it was just getting to the point where it was just like...
Did you think you're going to get rich? Is that why you had duplicates?
No, sometimes it was duplicates because... I didn't realize I had bought it, or like, the shop had gave me extra, because we were regulars, so the shop would be like, here, take an extra of it, or whatever. I didn't do the college, you know, thinking it was going to get me to college. I mean, I think my brother bought me, when Superman died, I was already buying the single issue Superman, and I remember she bought me, that issue, because all the people at work were like, you got to get that for your kids so they can pay for school.
On the poly bag black.
Uh-huh. Yep, she brought that home.
And then we resurrected the poly bag white.
So you brought that home, and I had the armband and all that. I was like, I already had it because I already went to the shop already and got it that day. So, But I got it because I wanted to read it. I've always gotten stuff because I wanted to read it. I never had that mentality of... I don't think I ever had the collector mentality.
I have the collector mentality, but it's secondary to me. Like, I want to read everything.
Yeah, but you don't have the... I know. You don't have the full collector mentality because you would be able to sell stuff in a heartbeat. You're not a collector.
Yeah, a matter of fact, I'm going to sell my Monstrous because it's worth a lot and I didn't enjoy it. I didn't. It was an Image series and I didn't like it. I was like, I didn't like it either.
That's why I stopped. I read the first issue and stopped. Yeah, I did a
talk about it and I was like, yeah. I liked one okay. And I didn't read 2 through 6 until now and I was like, ah. You know what? The book's worth some money and I think I'm going to sell it.
I did a book.
I'll at least recoup my money back. Well, you stick with... not more, because number one is worth like $30.
Well, you stick with... I don't know, and why is it that worth that much? Is it getting adapted to something?
I don't know. I think it's got a... It's a fantasy thing, and I don't care for that, but...
I don't either, but...
It has a cult following, like...
Yeah, but why did they do a low print run? Like, I don't understand
why.
It's a
low print one, and it's like building up like Saga. Huh. And it's actually one that started really low and increased with subsequent issues.
That is so weird. I didn't hear anybody talk about it.
Yeah, I don't get it. But I don't think I'm the demographic for it for sure.
No, you got to be in a to fantasy stuff. That's why I...
And you have to like cats a lot, because they're all over the place.
And I don't. Not like that. I don't. It just didn't... I gave it one issue just to check it out, and it just didn't do it for me. I stopped.
But I know it's quality. Like, it's just not...
No, it just wasn't my thing.
Like, the art is well done, the story's well done, it flows, I just don't like it. It's the pacing of it. I, like, fell asleep twice trying to
read it. It's like a book. They did the pacing like a book.
It was like Legends of the Fall. Something that you have to tread through, like the Hobbits walking. Like,
yeah, it's like a book.
Yeah, when I read The Hobbit,
oof, man.
I think it took me a year to finish because it was... I like set a goal that I was going to read it, but man, it was like dry, man.
How you did it. Oof. It was so generic.
And then I never read it. Like, I originally started it because of it was a school project book report.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated it so much, I switched books. And then I went back to it saying, I got to finish this. And, man, it was just too... Oh, that's what this one was. It was like them in a cart talking for one whole issue. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't take it anymore.
Oh, my liking... Sword and sorcery stuff is like from the 90s movies from back in the day. Like Conan was my, you know, like I can get into Conan and I can get into...
I like that kind of Crawl. Fantasy. Yeah.
I can get into Crawl and Conan.
Sword and the Sorcerer, yeah.
And Sword and the Sorcerer, like that type of stuff I got into. But when it comes to like The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings, oh man, my eyes just start closing automatically.
I have trouble with like talking animal books too. Like a lot of these creatures are like talking animals.
I can't do it. I refuse. If it ain't Chewbacca, I can't fuck with it. I can't. I just can't do it. I just can't. Any interest in it just goes away very quickly when I see too much of that. Like it just doesn't do it for me, and it's just so slow.
Yeah, you have to be patient.
Like your payoff is not going to be for at least another 30 chapters. and I can watch Game of Thrones, but if I had to read Game of Thrones,
yeah,
I'd be done.
Well, it's like I haven't watched the I watched the Lord of the Rings movies, and I watched when I was a kid, I watched the Hobbit cartoon.
I did too.
That, knowing that I liked the cartoon, is what got me through the book. I didn't go in the other order. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I like kind of knew what was going to happen based on the cartoon, so I stuck with it. But I think if I was just reading it, I wouldn't have continued.
Oh,
joke. It was like Dune. Like, some people love Dune. Like, they absolutely love it. But to me, oh my God, the spice and all this stuff, it was just killing me.
You know what? I like the idea of Dune. Because I love sci-fi. I like the idea of Dune, but the execution of Dune bores me to death. Like, I needed to move a little bit. I needed... Like, it is so freaking... There are so many characters, and they don't even do anything with some of the... Like, there's so many characters in the book that they're introduced. It's like Game of Thrones is like that. There are characters introduced where eventually there's just nothing... They don't do anything with them. They just either die or they go away. And it's like you spent 5 chapters on this fucking character, and you just... kill them off or just let them go? Like, what is the purpose of spending so much time on characters that you're not going to do anything with? I'm not into it enough to be all right with just...
Well, our brother Keith loves that.
Oh, he eats it up.
Like, he'll eat it up.
He loves it to death.
Even in the video game, he'll be walking around in the prairie fields like ever, and he's in heaven.
It's not to get to the end of the game. Like, if I had to do that, it would only be to get to the end of the game. For him, it's the journey of doing it.
Yeah, it's a journey. Oh, I got to pick up some grass and daffodils. Yeah. And
we went to the dirt cafe, the special dirt cafe, and we spoke to the wizard, and the wizard gave us 3 coins, and the coins will be used in another 800 chapters. We're going to use those coins. But right now, we're just going to hold on to it.
And that's why I don't think I'll ever play Dungeons & Dragons.
No. If I did, it would have to be...
It's played in your mind.
Yeah, I can't do it.
And I don't know if I could do it. I don't know.
We tried to. Didn't we try to do something like that way back when?
No, we made fun of it. We never
did. That's what it was. But we did it, though. We did, like... It was superheroes, remember? We made our own characters and stuff. But what we really did... I think
I was part of it. Maybe you and Keith.
No, I think you were part. It was me, you, and Keith, and...
No, you might have done it with Alan and stuff, but I didn't do it.
And Dean Stahl. You sure you weren't
there? No, I know. I definitely, if you mentioned Dean, I didn't do it.
Oh, man, I could have sworn we did it. And all I did was just make fun of the whole thing the whole time. Like, I tried
we
to break
the We kept talking people. About it because we had the jokes about rolling a 6.
I can only do it if I can do that. I can only do the game that way.
But anyway, like, what year did you start? Like,
man.
What year did you pick up a comic and say, hey, I like this? And
it would have to be the early 80s. Early 80s, and then my mother, I think like my mother had got me a subscription to the Hulk, and at the time it was when, it was Spider-Man DeMatteis, and it was the Hulk when, before Peter David, it was before Peter David got on the book, but it went into Peter David, like it was, I think it was like a year prior.
Your mom got these for you in the mail.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would look forward to it. Like, I would wait. Like, you would... And back then, you get it in a, like, a sleeve. It'd be a brown sleeve thing. And sometimes your comic would be fucked up. Like, collectors today, they would lose their shit. Because mailmen didn't care about your comic books back then. And they didn't wrap it up in some special paper.
Yeah.
They just put it... They put it in a brown sleeve... And they put it in the mailbox. Sometimes they bent it up and put it in your mailbox. And they basically said, "Fuck you. You're gonna read it anyway. We don't care." And I did. I didn't give a shit.
So like, you, knew, you, you really entered in the like 60 cent range, 65 cent range, right?
Yeah.
Wow, you entered in way late compared to me. Well, I know I'm older than you.
Yeah. But it wasn't the first books I read. Like some of the, like I picked up.
Well, you read earlier stuff because.
Yeah. I think like Batman, like buying it on my own, like when we were somewhere and I would beg to for some money to buy something. It was Neil Adams, Batman, some Brave and the Bold. And my cousin who was older than me, my cousin had the yellow and red Daredevil, the small books. Remember when they put all the trade, like it was a bunch of stories in this small book? And I had
reprints. Those were awesome.
All reprints, and I kept rereading him fighting the Circus of Crime. And I kept rereading the Hulk issues. Remember when the Hulk didn't change? He changed with the daylight. Like he would.
Yeah.
And remember
that was early Hulk. That was like.
Yeah. And so remember.
You were like reading in the little pocket size comic books. Yeah.
Yeah, because he had a bunch of them. He had some Conan stuff too. And I
still have some. I got to find them.
Oh, they were so. I
had the Spider-Man one that you're talking about because I know I had that one.
Oh, yeah. And I used to spend.
I don't think I had the Hulk, but I had a couple Conans and Spider-Man. And then I had the bigger ones, like Bring On the Bad Guys. And
I spent hours reading that. Like, that Daredevil stuff. And then the Hulk, when he couldn't, like, when his face didn't change into the Hulk. His face was Banner, but his body was the Hulk. Like, all that weird shit. I ate it up. Like, I would keep rereading it. Every time I would hang out in the summertime, I would reread those same comics. Because he wouldn't buy a lot. He just bought those few, and that was it. He was done.
Yeah, it was like trades before trades.
Yeah, and I was in. Like, that had me in, that I could sit there in a room with no cable, no nothing, no computers, no nothing, and just read those things over and over again. Like, that was my shit.
Yeah, I think when I was reading them, it was before I was going to a comic store, so it was like still spinner rack, and then you'd go...
Well, comics were special. Stores were a different deal.
I'd go to the drugstore to get my books, and then when we went to the mall, there used to be a bookseller called B. Dalton, and that's where I used to go in there and get those little trade...
He had that too,
It used to make me mad too, because the DC stuff was always black and white, man.
Yeah.
I would color them in myself.
Yeah, I didn't like black and white either.
I hated black and white when I was a kid. I was like,
where the fuck? I'd be like, why they didn't finish this? Why is this not finished? Where's the rest of the
finished work? It would drive me crazy because every DC pocket one was black and white.
Oh, it drove me nuts. I couldn't take it. I was like, what the fuck is this? I don't want this.
Yeah.
I don't want this.
So you were into Hulk like Bill Matlow.
Yeah, that Matlow.
But before... So you might have had the first appearance of Rocket Raccoon.
I might have, and didn't even realize it. I might have. I might have. Oh, man, Hulk was such an asshole back then. It was great. He was grumpy all the time.
Yeah.
He used to yell at Rick. Sometimes he would flick him around sometimes.
For some reason, I didn't get those Matlow books, but that's where I think you started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely got Matlow.
I started right after John Byrne, because John Byrne did like issue 318 and 319.
Mm-hmm.
And then Al Milgrom took over.
Yep, yes he did.
And then it was Peter David, and then I was in. That's when I was in. You know,
well, most people were in by then.
Yeah.
But
I stuck with Hulk, I think, the whole Peter David run.
I never left it. Yeah. I never left it. I didn't have access to the store. Like, there was a time when the store kept... I think I had problems finding Hulk because it went... Remember when it ended when he got blown up in the Gamma Bomb, and then it went to the Mr. Fix-It stuff? For whatever reason, the store that used to carry Hulk stopped carrying it. So then I had to, there was a point in time where I couldn't get it. And then when I did get to a store that had it, I had to do the dumpster diving, you know, just going back in the bins and find those old issues to catch up. Because I would just get it. Like, I would just get it whenever I saw it somewhere and just had to fill it in later when you got to stores.
He had a hell of a run on Hulk, that's for sure.
He sure did. He sure did. Long.
Long-ass run.
He got a long run. He's like...
Rode it all the way almost till it died.
Yeah, he did. He totally did.
I mean, Joe Casey picked up a few issues after him, but after he did like 6 issues or so, it was gone.
Yeah, it was done. They pretty much knew it was done by then. But, like, once... I think, kind of died when they did Heroes Reborn? Didn't that kind of...
Yeah, and then it came back with issue 600, just like Daredevil 500.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think it came back as its own, like, Hulk.
Well, really, they kept two Hulks as he got split.
It ran to, like, 1999, and right. didn't come back until 2009 as the Hulk.
Incredible. Well, they let, to give, because Peter David didn't want to have any part of the Heroes Reborn thing. They remember, they let him split it in two. There were two Hulks. He was split, and right. One Hulk went into the Heroes Reborn world, and the other Hulk stayed on Earth, here, like this is real. The other Hulk stayed in the 616 universe, and he was, like, mindless. Like, he was just raged and mindless.
Yeah, it's a weird run. Hulk went over, and then John Byrne took over in 1999, which is when the other one ended.
The Hulk outlasted Peter David's issues. Yeah. The Hulk outlasted Peter David's marriage. Like, for real.
Yeah.
Like, he was in it that long. The Hulk actually, like, him getting married, all of that, and then getting divorced. Like, he was doing Hulk all the way through that.
And now he's having tax problems.
Pay your taxes.
That was an interesting story. I read it.
Pay your taxes, man. I don't.
But I could see that happening. I don't know how, like, true it was, but, like, a divorce could distract the shit out of you, I'd imagine, you know?
Well, speaking as the one on here, the one on this show that went through it.
Yeah.
Yes, but he knew about the tax before that. You pay that tax.
Oh, he was going to pay it, but from what I understood is that he had his money in the bank to pay it. Like, you never know how true these are, but he had the money to pay it, and then his wife, or his ex-wife, had unknowingly pulled out the money that he had in there to pay off her lawyer.
Right.
Divorce lawyer. And I guess, when he got divorced, he said he was surprised, like he didn't see it coming. Like, he was kind of blindsided.
No, he was not happy about that divorce thing. Yeah. That was not a happy thing.
Didn't he remarry, though? I could have sworn.
Yeah, he did.
When he's I went remarried. To San Diego Comic-Con, he was there with his wife.
Yeah, I met his wife several times. He's remarried. He's remarried. But my only thing that just throws me off is, how can you do your taxes every year? And that will come up. Like, it doesn't disappear because you...
Yeah. It's got to be in the back of your mind. Like, hey, I gotta pay my taxes.
Well, even if you have your tax guy, like it's gonna pop up. It just doesn't.
And did you see the story though? He was had like a TV show or something that was really successful.
Yeah.
And he made like a boatload. Like, it was like an extraordinary amount of money for him.
And you get paid in lump sums. Like, at comics, you get paid in lump sums. Like, that's how you get your money. So you get, like, you legitimately get a lump sum of your money. It's not like you have to
get a
check and pay off. You know, like, you could do check by check. So he's had the money 10 times over to pay that before it got to the point of this big.
Yeah.
That's the thing that gets me. Like, I can see if you got sick or something, or your health or whatever, and you can't pay your bills. That's a different story. But you've been... he's been working steady since Hulk. He's never stopped working.
Yeah.
He's been lucky. He's been more lucky than most writers from that time.
And as a novelist, too, right? I mean,
didn't he write
a ton of Star Trek novels?
He did a bunch of... of novels for Star Trek. And the thing is, when you do novels, when you sell a novel, and he's done other novels too, the publisher gives you a lump sum again to get you to, you know, like that's your, I think it's like you get a lump sum to start it, and then you get another lump sum to finish it.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're getting chump change. Like you had to. That's the thing that makes me. It kind of makes me feel a little, you know, suspect with it. Just makes me feel like you didn't want to pay it, and you thought. And even in his wording, he said he thought they would forget about it. That is not a realistic thing for someone who's in their 40s.
No, okay? It'll eventually catch up to you.
Yeah.
It might take them a couple of years, but you're going to get fined for all the years that you didn't pay it.
There's one person that does not, entity that never forgets any bills that you owe, and that is the tax people.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not like you can't say to them, can I pay you in a lump sum? Because what they want some of it more than none of it.
Yeah.
So you, and I've had it where I got hit hard with a tax thing because it didn't, like I did H&R Block and they fucked up my tax, and I was working two jobs and they fucked up my tax return. So I had to pay them in parts because it was just, I owed too much. And I couldn't afford to pay all that and, you know, and still live. So I told them I had to pay them in installments.
Was this during the divorce time or no?
Yeah. It was around the divorce time. Well, I was still married, though. I was still married. But I was working two jobs. I was still married, though. So I couldn't. But they let me do it. It's not like they tell you, nah, we don't want you to pay nothing. We want it all in one. The thing is you have to talk to them, though. But if you say to them, hey, I just got a check for $100,000, I ain't going to pay y'all, though. I mean.
Yeah, your employer enters their information into the system.
Yeah, so they know how much you got. They know how much you got. So you can't just be like, nah, I don't feel like it. I want to go to Disneyland. I don't feel like paying that. No, I don't want to do it. So no, that's the thing that gets me a little bit. I don't makes you feel a certain kind of way on that one.
Yeah.
Because it ain't like you're living in a shack and you're, you know, over the years and you have no money and you've been to Disneyland three times.
Yeah.
Okay. It is not the same deal. Your daughter, you just tweeted your daughter's hanging out with the cast of Iron Fist. I find it a little hard to be sympathetic to you with no situations. I'm sorry.
It's true.
Yeah, I'm a little rough on that.
It is probably a bind, though, because of what your mistake is. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Because you, now that it's come and then you have X amount of interest over the past 20 years or whatever it is, it's a lot of money.
Yeah, because they're saying yo, you've been getting checks for the last so and so years. You ain't made an attempt to pay none of this back. Like, what kind of game are you playing, sir?
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that.
So you went from mailers to and then to the comic shop?
Actually, I was doing both. I was still getting, I think I stayed with getting the subscriptions for, I think I did it for 2 years. And then, but at the same time, every chance I get, like if I'm at the grocery store, I pick up comics. If I'm at the drugstore, you know, you go to the store or whatever, I would always just pick up. Back then, you could do it. I mean, it's 60 cents here, 75 cents there,
yeah,
a dollar here. I mean, you can imagine, you can literally go into a store with $5 and come out with five comics.
Yeah.
I mean, more.
When I started getting them, they were 20 cents. So it's
like, yeah. So, I mean, imagine.
For a dollar, man.
I know people cannot imagine that, but imagine that's the case. As opposed to one comic now for $5. Imagine,
I remember saying, here's a dollar, and you're like, holy crap, that's, I could get five comics.
Look at that. Like, imagine, and then in the
bin. And then you're trying to convince them, can you pay the tax too? So it'll be like a dollar something.
I'm saying, exactly. And then imagine when you go to the comic shop and they would throw, and they call them throwaway comics, like they really didn't care. They throw them in the big bins, and you just had to look through them. And they didn't have, they just weren't put in alphabetical order sometimes, and they'd be like 50 cents, right? 25 cents. To us, to kids, that's like, we got nothing but time.
That's right.
So.
Well, it was a big source of entertainment for us, because what else did we have? We had, we had AM/FM radio, right?
That's it.
We had, 8 tracks or record players.
that's it. Yeah, tapes.
Yeah, and then Locked we had movies, which you'd have to go to the movie for. There was no such thing as.
And movies were a big deal. Movies were a big deal. They weren't like, you couldn't just, there weren't movies coming out like every week, like, you know, like a blockbuster or something. Like, there were movies that would come out and then they would just stay on for almost
forever.
Forever, like a year almost. And then some movies would even come back. Because they would just have come back.
There was no, like, programs on demand. There was no...
Nope.
If you wanted to watch your cartoons, you better as well set your alarm. And I didn't have an alarm, so it's an internal alarm.
You got up on your own, and you had to get your ass up.
You knew it was Saturday, and you better...
That's right.
And if you didn't get up on time, you'd be crying. You'd say, I missed the Super Friends. You asked out.
And then the comics, and then the cartoons would end. They would end at like 11 or something, or 12. And then you'd
pass out.
And then it's like, listen, you find something to do. There ain't nothing else to watch. There's nothing else on TV for you to watch, basically, after that.
Yeah. I'd get excited and watch the bars on the screen before the TV even turned on.
Oh, like, man.
Because I didn't want to miss anything.
Well, me, I was Super Friends crazy. Like, I had to, like, waking up to catch Super Friends was a big deal. The new seasons.
I think Super Friends is what got me into, like, DC hardcore. Like, I blame the cartoon.
I don't know what did it for me.
It was the Super Friends.
Maybe it helped. But I think I keep feeling like it was more than that. Like, for whatever reason, whenever I saw Batman, even Scooby-Doo, I didn't give a shit about Scooby-Doo, but when I saw Scooby-Doo in the... You remember they would put the... Whoever guest starred in the episode, they would put them in
those were good, yeah. Like Batman, Adam West, and...
Batman was like a squirrel. It was like yelling squirrel. Like, if I saw it, Batman in it, even if it's something I didn't even want to watch, it didn't matter.
Yeah,
I would watch it because it was Batman. So that just drew me in. Batman was just something that, from the first time I saw the imagery of wherever I saw Batman at, that's my dude. Like, that's just the guy that... Batman and Aquaman, for some fucking reason.
Aquaman was my thing in the Super Friends. For some reason, he was like the odd guy out. And I don't know why I was attracted to it. I think it was the costume, too.
Probably. I think it was the design of the costume.
Because
it was
the green and... orange and all that colors, you know?
I think it was the design of the costume. I think you're absolutely right.
And the sound
right.
effects, too. I think it's attractive. You'd always hear a controlling fish and going, woo-woo-woo-woo-woo.
I just thought that was just the best. Like, I just have to... So anytime I saw anything with him on it, I would buy it. Didn't matter what it was. I would just get it. Like, it was amazing.
Yeah. But it was comics were like a big source of entertainment for our age.
Oh, hell yeah, it was. Definitely.
I think things have changed now.
It definitely changed.
Other media to take away kids from comics.
You could take your fucking phone and watch shows and shit on it, like
on demand.
On demand. Could you imagine?
You could watch the Super Friends over and over again.
On fucking demand, man.
I remember I would get... If I missed an episode of Super Friends, Mm-hmm. And my friend, I went to school and they told me, you missed this episode.
Yep.
I would be like damn depressed.
Yeah, you missed your shit. Because there's no way you can see it again. You just had to wait.
And there was a lot of planning. I mean, when the fall TV guide came out, you'd plan the cartoons. Okay, I got to jump from ABC to NBC.
Yup.
And then back to ABC.
I got Herb and finish. I got to finish Thing with her Thing ring, Do Your Thing. And then I got to jump to this, and I got to jump back to this. I got to watch Mr. T and the gymnastics team.
I like Mr. T, the cartoon.
I did too. I was a wrestler fan too. So that, and then I was a Rocky fan. So that all, like, you couldn't tell me shit about Mr. T. That was my thing. Like, Mr. T was a superhero. He could beat up everybody. He was like, you didn't say to yourself, why the fuck is Mr. T with a bunch of gymnastics team? Why is he with a gymnastics team? That doesn't make any sense. What is Mr. T doing? Listen, I didn't ask that question yet. It took me years to get to ask that question. But at the time,
you didn't think about it. You just knew it was Mr. T.
I just knew it was Mr. T. It made perfect sense that Mr. T would drive in a van with all these kids.
Yeah, you like wanted to watch him because he's the one that told Rocky Balboa. He told Rocky Balboa's wife, "Hey, you want a real man?" Yeah.
What, a real man? I'm your real man. I'm your real man, Adrian.
You come to my place, I'll show you a real man.
You come to my place, I got something for you. I got some real chocolate for you, girl. I got some real man for you right here.
I remember when I saw that, it was amazing to see, like, Mr. T.
Because I saw it on a Saturday.
Badass. Like, I know. He was an uncontrollable animal.
That's a scary motherfucker, too.
Yeah, he's a scary motherfucker. And then he was B.A. Baracus, and he had his cartoon.
And then I remember when Rocky was like, I'm scared, okay? I'm scared!
Well, he actually killed Mickey, or whatever his name
was. Yeah, he did, because he couldn't take them hits. Mickey felt them hits for him, all the hits he got. Mickey felt them.
Well, he pushed him.
Yeah, he did.
That's how he killed him. Yeah. He killed him before the match.
He sure did.
He gave him a heart attack, and then Rocky went in there, and he's like, oh, I lost Mickey, and got his ass handed to him.
He sure did. He got beat the fuck up. And then he was like, I can't. I never forget it. I'm scared.
I'm scared.
Okay? I'm scared, okay? Because whatchamacallit, what was it? What's his name? Apollo was like, yo, Rocky, this is not the dude that I fought twice. Like, something's off. Something's wrong. Yeah. Like, you're holding back. This is not you. And his wife was like, I got this. Let me talk to him. I got this. She's like, what is wrong with you? You punking out. And he's like, I can't do it. Adrian, I can't do it. I'm scared, okay?
I'm scared. I'm scared.
I'm scared, okay?
That was a strange franchise because Rocky came out in the time of Star Wars and Superman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he kind of held his own, man. I mean, for a kid to see Rocky in Rocky II and Rocky
III, it was a big deal.
It was a big deal.
It was a big deal. And I don't know why I liked it so much, because I should be rooting for Apollo. Like, it's a white guy beating us up, right? Like, because there were kids, there were white kids that were not that nice, who thought, you know, Rocky winning was like, you know, they got kind of racist about it. Like, they thought they were Rocky. But he touched everybody. There was not a community that was not a Rocky, didn't root for Rocky. Like, they wrote him very well. Like, he could have been an asshole.
Even the Russians voted for him.
Because remember his friend, his asshole friend, Paulie. Paulie was a dick.
He was his brother-in-law.
Paulie was, well, first he was his friend. He was his best friend. Then he became his brother-in-law, remember?
Was Paulie his best friend?
Paulie was his best friend.
I thought he was his best friend through
marriage. No, Paulie didn't want him to be with his sister, remember?
Oh, really? In Rocky 1?
Yeah, Rocky liked the sister, but Paulie treated the sister like a wife. He kept yelling at her and made her cook for him and everything. And Paulie was like, I don't want you to be with a bum like Rocky. I don't want you to be with him. And then when he did get with him, Rocky had to kick Paulie's ass because Paulie was like, to his own sister, he was like, why do you want this? Why do you want this? This piece of shit over here. Like, why? Look at her. Why would you want this? And Rocky was like, yo, don't make me kick your ass. I don't want to do this. He was like, come on, Paulie, don't do it. Don't talk about your sister like this. Paulie was a dick, man. He treated his sister like shit.
He was kind of a dick through the whole franchise.
He never stopped being a dick.
Yeah.
He never stopped being a dick. The only time he stopped being a dick is when Rocky was like,
he was a drunk. He was always drinking.
Well, he had to admit, remember, the last movie he was in, he admitted, he said, I can't think about my sister. Remember when he said, I can't go to her grave because I treated her so badly?
Yeah.
You're making me feel bad. I can't go. I can't go to the grave, Rocky.
Yeah, that's what Barb's listening to us talk, and she's even telling me about how he treated Adrian so bad.
I never forgot how bad he was. I never forgot how bad Paulie was. Like, Paulie was shitty, man. He was
always would move in the mansions when they were he'd always be there.
Like, yeah, when fucking they
were,
everything
when
up.
They were filthy rich and they had the robots and all that shit, he would always be there.
Everything up. It's his fault they lost money the first time. Signed all the papers and he can't even read.
Yeah.
The hell is wrong with you? Oh, Paulie was such a dick. Paulie was a suit too. Paulie, and then even in the Rocky, which we thought was going to be the last time we saw Rocky ever, he was a dick at the restaurant. Remember that he owned?
Yeah, that was when he owned the restaurant. Didn't want to go back to fighting.
Yeah. So Paulie's always been a dick. Paulie's always been a dick. That's why he was his best friend. He still stuck with Paulie, even though Paulie was a nobody liked Paulie.
Yeah.
But Rocky still stuck with
Paulie. He went from his friend to like family. Like he had a remnant of his family.
Yeah. Well, he treated Rocky better than he treated his sister.
That's true. Well, back to the comics. So what we're focusing on is comics were a big thing because movies were far between, they weren't like, and they were a treat, right? I mean, we didn't go to the movie every weekend. It was like,
oh, it was a treat. It was definitely a treat. Movies were special.
Every other month, you'd be happy.
Well, they most times it'd be a movie. I mean, for it to even be a movie that's for you, you know, they didn't do kids' movies all the time.
Yeah,
it wasn't like every all year round you got kid. You know, you got movies that kids can see and adults can see and stuff. It wasn't like that. It was, you just had to wait, or it's probably why I saw a lot of movies I wasn't supposed to see, because it just was too much time that passed, and you couldn't wait for all the kid movies. I wanted to see something.
That's right.
So, I saw a lot of bad movies. I saw a lot of movies I was not supposed to watch.
So, after the subscription comics and getting them from the grocery store and such, what did you eventually end up at the comic shop?
When we got to the late 80s to 90s, that's when I was in junior high school, that's when going to the comic shop was a regular occurrence. It happened all the time. So that's when I really started doing a collection. That's when I started buying. I was getting, like, the 80s, I was getting Thor. I was getting everything. I was getting Thor, Spider-Man, Hulk, Superman, Avengers, Captain America, Green Lantern,
X-Men,
Justice League, X-Men, and then when it went into the 90s, like all the different X-Men books, I was getting all of those.
Were you always getting Batman?
I was always getting... That was a given. Like, Batman and Superman was always a given.
Both
and Spider-Man and Hulk.
That titles? Was always, like, yep. Detective and Batman?
I always got Batman, always got Detective, always got Spider-Man, always got Amazing Spider-Man, and then I got Web of Spider-Man, then I got Spectacular Spider-Man. Like, I was getting that. Daredevil. I was getting that.
So you had all these issues.
Yeah, Wolverine.
Did you actually buy supplies when you were doing it too, or no? Like backboards, or did you not care about that? Like,
I really didn't care about that. I would just I would put them in. I was starting to get the long boxes, so I started putting them in long boxes.
But you really didn't put them in the polypropylene and the
that came like later, like when we got to the Image, when Image started to come out.
Yeah.
That's when it was like, okay, you need to put your books in backboards and plastic. And I started doing that then. Because they're going to be worth millions of dollars.
What year was Image again? 93? Is it, or am I too early? Youngblood was the first one.
Oh, yeah.
It came out.
I remember reading that.
Youngblood and Valiant came out. And I think, man, it's got to be one
more. 92. 92.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember getting...
So I was already, like, a senior in high school.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. You were about to get caught up in Bucky. You and Bucky were about to beat Hitler.
Yeah.
And then you got Frozen.
That's right. Frozen.
And you came out later. But yeah, I was getting all, because I wanted to have it all. Like, I'm not one who, you know, there's some people that just like teams more than solo characters, or they like either or. Like, these people that like either or. My problem was that I liked all of it. Like, I liked team books, I liked solo books, I liked DC, I liked Marvel, because I, you know, like, it just... It was just so much going on. I mean, Marv Wolfman, I'd stayed with the Teen Titans when all the way through Titans Hunt, which was a long-ass run, mm-hmm. to Teen Titans. I was with it all the way to Teen Titans. And so that's a lot of stuff. I mean, that's a lot of good stuff, a lot of bad stuff. Like, a lot of stuff where writers were like, they were mad that they were forced to... You learn later on that they didn't want to do runs. They didn't want to do certain storylines, but they had to. But I was reading all that stuff. Like, the Kronos War. It was ridiculous. I even bought and read the Titans when it wasn't even the Titans anymore. It was... Dan Jurgens. Dan Jurgens.
That was the Teen Titans.
It was the Teen Titans. Remember, it was Adam, because he was young again.
Yeah, that's when he could grow too.
Yeah, that's when he could grow. So it was Adam, and it was
Jodo,
what's her face?
Argent.
Argent. Yeah, she was the one that was the albino.
Jodo, the guy that lost his arm in Final.
Yeah, Crisis. He could just fight real well. Like he was almost like. He had the super serum in his body, but he could just do
it. I actually like that run, and a lot of people don't. Like, a lot of people.
It's not my favorite. I think because it was named Teen Titans.
I liked it because it was different. Like, it was like getting on the ground floor of this new. Like, it was almost like when new Teen Titans launched in DC Comics Presents. Like, this is a new team kind of thing. I liked it.
I think in my mind, I always knew, even when it started, that this wasn't going to last. Like, I'm just going to...
like Dan Jurgens, though. Like,
I did, too.
Dan Jurgens kind of, like, writes in a style that, like, I just... Like, right now, I'm liking Batman Beyond, and he's writing it, and he's writing
action. And he's liking Superman. Yeah, I like his Superman stories. I really do.
He's always wrote Superman good.
Well, he did Thor for me too. He was doing Thor also.
He did
a long run on Thor. Yeah.
Booster Gold. I mean, mm-hmm. He's a good writer and artist.
Oh yeah. I was in, man. When he came on Justice League, and it was and they before Doomsday got there.
Yeah.
And I remember that team because you had Maximal kept trying to fuck Superman and
Bloodwind.
And Bloodwind, who was, I wish they'd bring him back. I like that character. I wish they really bring that character back. I thought that was a good character. I think he was a good Mystic, different type of character. He was.
He had Booster.
Mm-hmm.
Ice, fire, right?
Yeah. And she was always getting into arguments with Guy because she liked Superman.
Yeah.
And Guy was jealous of everybody.
Guy has always had a thing for Ice.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
Oh, yeah.
And then she finally agrees to go on a date, and he takes her to a porno movie.
Of course he does.
I just can't believe he did that.
Of course he does.
And that was when, like, the Black Hand was running the porno movie.
Mm-hmm.
What an odd... That goes in there as, like, odd stories, just like when the big
Dark Side. I was about to say that. Dark Side! Yes! That story. That story was so weird that I almost thought I misremembered. Like, yeah. I thought, like, it couldn't be that was the story. Like, so when I reread it again, when they made it available digitally, I said, God damn, it was. This is really what happened. This is totally what happened.
I just can't believe that Darkseid would show up, like, at the door. He says, oh, let me sit on your couch and let's watch a movie of your wife getting fucked.
Let me show you a movie.
What was he thinking? Like, what was editorial thinking?
I don't know how they let that go, man. I don't know how John Byrne got away with that. I don't know. Well, they did say that was the era of him being very popular. I mean, the writers could really do what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
They were so popular.
Well, he did breathe new life into Superman for a lot of people.
It was so funny, though, because I remember Fantastic Four. I remember if you read Fantastic Four and you read X-Men, there are so many weird occurrences. Like, we never knew that back in the day, every time you saw a Doombot, that was basically one writer saying, fuck off to the other writer.
Yeah.
This is wrong, like that.
But we never knew about any of the politics.
We didn't know about none of that.
We didn't even know what they look like.
We didn't know none of it.
Until Wizard Magazine came.
That was when we knew what some of them
looked like. That's when we knew what some of the writers and artists looked like. Before that, we had no freaking clue.
We knew nothing about it. We just knew
what we liked.
That's it. That's it. That's all
you knew. John Byrne was doing FF, and that was fantastic. And then you followed him to Superman. Like,
that's all he knew.
And certain names.
And every time at Doom, and it was so funny how Doombot, like, you'd be like, "Wow, why is Doom here?" And then all of a sudden, it'd be like, "Oh, Doombot." It'd be another book. Would be like, "That's a Doombot. That wasn't me." He would even put it in dialogue, like, "Oh, to think it was Doom."
Yeah, you know, like.
It just
every time Doom shows up, you really don't know.
You never know. That was the thing. You never knew.
It's like Nick Fury too.
That's the other one. You like you never knew if it was him or not.
Involved, is this, you know, a life duplicate or whatever? Yep. Decoy.
You never knew. I don't know. I used to love the times when Nick Fury would be like he'd come out of nowhere. Like there'd be something going on and then you see that cigar smoke, and then he'd be like, "You know what? You can't go after this guy." And they'd be like, "What? He just murdered 50 people. You can't go after him." I can't tell you why. It's classified.
Yeah.
It's all classified. You just gotta let it go.
Don't worry about it.
And Wolverine would be like, "Fuck off. I'm going." And Nick Fury would be like, "No, can't do it. Can't do it, Runt."
Wolverine does what he wants, though.
Oh, yeah, he does. He does.
You can't control an animal.
No, you can't control an animal. Those are good times, though. I used to love when he was like that. Oh, he used to be like Mr. T. He's like, "Gene, when you want a real man, come to me."
Well, that's why That's why Wolverine stood the test of time, is because he offered us something that was different at the time. His attitude was like, his attitude was, you're not typical superhero. It wasn't heroic. He was put in heroic situations.
Right. And
but his attitude was
like that feeling of people. When that feeling of when the Hellfire Club buried him in underwater, right?
Yeah.
Captured Jean. Jean went nuts and everybody was captured, and then you saw that last page when he crawls out of the rubble and you're like, what? And then the next issue he pulls one of them down and it cuts, like the panel just goes dark, and then he comes out of it, and that's the first time you knew that he killed people. Like that was it. Like I think that was the first major scene. And then they were like, when Cyclops kind of asked Wolverine, like, what happened? Where did they go? What did you do with the other soldiers? And he just basically was like, Slim, you don't want to know the answer to that.
Yeah.
But it was just, and Cyclops couldn't do anything about it because it was just too much shit going on. He had to save Jean and stuff, so it was like he had to just like let it go, mm-hmm. and not ask him. Like he just had to be like, no, you just let it go. But as a kid, you're like, yo, that's fucking amazing. He killed those guys. Like,
yeah.
That was a big deal with the X-Men. Like, especially to somebody who's read the X-Men when they were the original five. Like, they didn't do that. Like, that was just a thing. They didn't do that. So this dude to come in there and he killed them.
They were in a different league when they changed the roster, for sure.
Yeah, it made Cyclops change. Like it put him in a position where he had to adapt. He had no choice.
And I think that's why it captured a generation of people.
Yeah, it did. It totally did. Between that and then like getting Kyle and getting watching Wally be like a dick in Teen Titans. To growing up to being a good person. Like he grew up to be a good man, but we got to see it. Like this, yeah. He was like a petty, like very selfish, you know, like the way he treated Raven was very, you know, he would verbally like abuse her like every issue. Mm-hmm. He would treat her bad. Like he was very petty and selfish.
And well, then, you could feel the difference between the generation of superheroes, because it almost feels like DC said, you know, we have all these iconic heroes,
mm-hmm.
but we want to have heroes that have faults and they're more like humans,
right?
And they're not as stern, and
they're not icons.
They have their own identity. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's why we got Wally and we got mm-hmm. Kyle and all the other generation of heroes.
Yeah, Kyle had to grow. I mean, Kyle came from nothing. Like he had to go from the bottom.
I think that's up. Why I like them so much, is because I've like you, I've read everything. Like
right.
I don't have any holes. You know,
I've read
everything about those characters.
When Kyle
Barry, I read in the 70s, but I'd be lucky to get five issues a year if that was the case. And back then it was more like him fighting the villain and trying to date Iris, but it was not as personal. Like, you didn't get into his feelings as much. You know what I mean?
And then I remember that trial was long as hell.
Oh, the trial of the Flash, yeah.
That was such a... I remember it being so long to me. Like, it feeling like it was lasted so long.
It had to have at least been a year or more. It was a long time.
So it was pretty... I know, it's just a time. Like, it is true. Like, you grow up, these are the ones that you grow up with. So you kind of, and then you got to see Ollie's son grow up, too. And and he was friends with Kyle, and they were
Connor Hawk.
And he was hanging out with that asshole agent that was not a good dude. He was not a good
Fries,
dude.
Eddie Fries
was not a good dude. Especially if you read the
previous Mike Grell stuff.
The Mike Grell stuff. He was a total dick.
Yeah.
He was a total dick. But you know, he was hanging out with him.
Did you do any independence? I know you did Image.
Did some sporadically Valiant. There was sporadically, because the Valiant wasn't available everywhere. It wasn't on newsstands too much.
Low print runs, too.
Yeah, low print runs. So I had some issues of Valiant. I had, what was the book, those Archie characters, like the Shield?
Oh, the Red Circle?
Yeah. I would always get those Red Circle books, like whenever they would do a run and then it would get canceled.
Did you do them as Red Circle or did you do them when they were DC Impact? Remember DC got the rights?
I did them all, every version. Like I would pick it up. Like every time they would launch it somewhere and I'd see that, it would just be like, I gotta get it because I just fell in love with it. Also, what was the team? Damn, it was a team. There was another, it was a publisher, and it was a team of superheroes, and it had the cover with the bullet that went through it, like it was,
oh, the protectors,
I bought those when I could get
those. That was the shit, man, I love the protectors.
I remember getting that.
That's what got me into Malibu.
And I got Malibu.
Because that was right before Ultraverse launched, the protectors.
And I got all the Ultra stuff, everything. I got all that stuff like from the ground when it started.
Yeah, the
Ultraverse. I got in on that on the ground floor.
I always wonder if they didn't sell to Marvel, if they would still be around.
I think they would at least last a little longer. At least, like I think they probably.
As soon as the world started to merge.
Yeah.
It was the downfall of the
Ultimate. Oh, it destroyed it. They put Black Knight in there, and they
Black Knight and Ultra Force Juggernaut too.
Yep.
Remember?
Yeah.
They threw all these odd Marvel characters at the Ultraverse.
They threw the characters that they didn't care about. The Marvel
had,
characters.
Something
they didn't
like
care.
Spider Prime, I remember. Something weird like that.
Yeah.
They really jacked up Prime.
And I loved What If. I remember loving What If, too.
I did not read that. I missed that.
I read What If all the way through. I'm so glad they recently put that on Marvel Unlimited.
The whole run, or is it just...
Yeah, the first run of it. Like, What If Punisher. That was funny, because when you did the What If Punisher Never Died...
Yeah.
That was one of them. Like, What If the X-Men... what if it was the new X-Men that died and not the original five. Mm-hmm. I remember that. Like, I used to love that stuff. I love that Elseworlds stuff. I always got a kick out of that. Like, that was always my thing.
I like it now, but back then, my brain worked weird. It was like, hey, this isn't real. This isn't in continuity. I'm not interested. I'm interested.
Call it weird, but a lot of people, you call it weird, but there are a lot of comic buyers who feel that way now. They will not buy anything that's not, if it's not connected.
Yeah. It's odd, but it, you know what I wish they would do that with is like, when Dark Horse did the Star Wars one by, Brian Wood.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They I remember that. Infinite or something? Or?
Well, they let him do outside of movie continuity. In other words, he could break the rules.
Right.
I wish they would do that with the Marvel stuff. Like, don't be constrained by, you could be constrained by the movies, but you could, you're allowed to do anything. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I would be more interested in, because I'm sure now they're like so restricted, like they have to ask permission. Oh, we're going to put Han Solo in a situation. Can we do that? And then they have to get permission from somebody.
Well, that's why I think, for me, that's why a lot of the Star Wars books feel like they're not going anywhere. Because they only have, they can only do
approved
stuff that's set in a specific time frame. They can't go past. Right. It has to be in between Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back. It has to be in between that. It can't be. It can't. They can't go over that yet.
And you could do like characters like Dr. Aphra, or you know, you can make stuff happen that maybe they might never appear in film, you know.
Yeah, but they won't. They're not gonna do that. I would love it if they did the older. I mean, they'll never do it, but I would love they did the. I love the old continuity of Star Wars where it had the kids grown up, Jaina and Jason and Anakin.
Yeah.
I love that shit. That was my thing.
But
I love
be
that
interesting.
Shit.
If they did, like, what if Star Wars?
Well, that used to be Infinite.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Remember that?
Yeah,
they did it for a little bit, and then, you know, I don't know how well it did.
They let Brian Wood take over Star Wars and do his thing.
Oh, yeah, he was able to do what he wanted to do.
And that was an interesting title. That was very fun. But, okay, so you did some independent stuff, and during this time you're accumulating a lot of paper.
yes,
what,
I am.
What broke you? I mean, when did you realize that, hey, you know, I love comics, but I don't want to have all of these around my house?
I think when it was after DC 50, it was after the weekly DC 52.
Yeah.
But it was after that. It was after Final Crisis.
After the divorce or before?
It was after.
Okay.
It was after. I started to have like all these bins, like all these, like, you know, you'd have the current books. I would keep the current books in my room,
yeah,
in my bedroom, and then I would keep the older stuff or the stuff I've already read in the basement, and then I would try to keep them together, but then it just got crazy. Like, I would try to keep the books at least together, like all the Spider-Man in one, you know, one Ben, and then the Hulks and another, and Avengers, and another. Like, I was trying to keep that stuff all together, but it just got to the point where I was buying shit on a weekly basis. It was just getting too crazy, and then it got to a point where I stopped reading. I wasn't whittling down my recent books too much. Like, it felt like it was just a chore now to get down. So, you know, it probably added to me killing me. It was those fucking Green Hornet books that were on sale at DCBS.
That you got for like 45 cents.
So like an idiot, I bought all those fucking things, right?
Yeah.
And then they started coming in.
And you're like, holy shit.
Holy shit. And like, I would start reading them at first, but then after a while, it was like, I would just get caught, because I was getting DCBS every week now. Like, my DCBS orders are coming in, because that sparked another thing of buying too many books, was those damn DCBS sales and those damn DCBS lower prices. Like, when I found out about that,
50% off.
Oh, bundles. My goodness. And then they had those bundles, so I was getting like a whole bunch of Marvel and DC stuff on top of Image and then I was getting Valiant, and then I was getting Dark Horse. Like, it was just so much shit coming. I was just going crazy. Like, I was just going absolutely insane. And then
what happened? I mean, did you
And then I just
buy a device, though, or is it? I mean, did you
as a gift? Somebody, a friend of mine, bought me an iPad. Like he got a settlement or something that he bought all of us, like a bunch of his friends. He bought us the iPad 2.
Yeah.
Nobody asked for it. I didn't ask for it. He just bought it, right? So I thought, I didn't even know about this iPad thing. It wasn't even something in my radar, right?
Right. So I didn't, it changed your life.
So I get it. I get it. And then eventually I'm like, oh, they have a, you know, you're a comic person. Like, you see these apps. And then you see, oh, Comixology app. Okay. Marvel has an app. Okay. Dark Horse has an app. I'll get that. And then it just kept going on and on and on. I would add all the apps, right? And then little by little, like, I would pick up one book or something digitally. Like, it was just one book or whatever. And then I found myself going, wow, they put this on there too? And let me pick that up. That they were having sales. Like, they were doing, like, Marvel would do a sale. They still do it. Marvel would do a sale every Monday. And then DC would do a sale on Fridays.
And during this time, were you getting paper at the same time?
But I was still getting paper, but I would just be buying older comics. Like, I would buy old comics digitally and getting new comics still on paper. But then I found myself reading the older comics, and I found myself not reading the recent stuff right away. Like, it started to pile up, and then I would read it little by little, but it would never get it down. I would never get it down. Like, it would just keep piling up, piling up, piling up. And then I think eventually I just said, you know what, and then I started sharing my digital account, and we were like, well, instead of all of us buying digital stuff here and there, let's just all, if we all contribute and just buy whatever we're going to buy, but buy it under one account, we could read more stuff. It'd be more open, right? Mm-hmm. So then that started to happen. I started reading more stuff. And then Marvel did that digital day, and DC did it too. And I would buy the books from DCBS, and then I started installing all the digital codes and not reading the paper copies, but you just reading
digital copies.
Right. And then it got to the point where it was like, well, I have a lot of friends that buy the paper copies, so they just gave me the digital because they didn't want it. They didn't want to read the digital. And it was like, well, why the fuck am I buying Marvel Comics paper if I get them digitally? Yeah, they're giving it to me digitally, so what was the point? So then I just stopped by getting that, and I was just getting DC. And then eventually I was like, well, they got the DC thing too. So I was like, okay, I'll stay with that for a little while. And then eventually I just said, you know what? Fuck it. They go down in price. Like, that's when they were going down in price, like, after, like, not, like, 3 weeks, they would go down. And I was like, it ain't really that bad, since I don't have to, like, I'm not spending money on Marvel books, and I'm buying, and the Marvel and Image stuff, and Dark Horse, they all go down in price, like, after 3 weeks. I mean, that's not really that expensive to spend, like, $2 a digital book. So I just started doing that. And then it just became a thing where less, like, it was getting to the point where I would get DCBS stuff still, but I wasn't even opening the boxes, and the boxes started piling up. Like, I had Morning Glories and shit, like, I had like 30 fucking Morning Glories, and I was like, I stopped reading after 10 issues.
Yeah.
And I was like, why are you still getting it? Like, it makes no sense. Why are you still buying it and you're not reading it? So then eventually I just stopped. And then I just kept getting it. I just kept getting stuff on Comixology.
And then how did you... When did you decide I need to get rid of all this stuff? Because you got rid of all of it, didn't you?
Yeah, a friend of mine... Well, she was buying... Like, she wanted to get into comics again. So she was like, how much are you charging? She asked me just out the blue, like, how much would you charge? Are you charging for old comics? Because she wanted to read old Wonder Woman. She wanted to read some Batman. She wanted to, and I was like, I don't know, $2, I guess, a comic or whatever. So she started buying all that stuff. So she started buying a lot. Like, I would bring it to work. She would buy them. And then I was making money that way. And then Donnie was like, a couple other people would start buying it. They wanted to buy some stuff too. And then Donnie was like, if you, like, you selling your collection, I'll buy it. And I was like, what? And then,
that's so interesting too, because he sold some of his collection.
Well, that's how he does it. He gets it from like, flea markets and stuff. And then he sells it at places. He sells it at conventions. Like, you know, those comic conventions where they're just selling comics and stuff, right? Yeah. So, and then I said, well, I wanted to clean out my basement. And I was like, well, he was like, if you name a price. And I said, all right, you know what? This is the price or whatever. Because the books were just too much. But I was like, I was just ready to clean it out. So I said, do that. So he came to my house. And we took out all that stuff, put it in his car. And he took it away.
And did he take everything, like the remainder of your collection?
Just about. The only thing left was, like, I had a lot. I still have a lot of trades left.
Yeah.
I have a lot of old trades left. And I have, you know, even new stuff because people still buy me trades for Christmas and birthdays and stuff. But I still have that. But in terms of, like, and then I have, like, a few here and there boxes of comics. Like, Valiant, I was still getting paper until we got the press. They started giving me the digital press for the books that way, the PDFs. So I started reading it that way. So, yeah. So I still have a box in my base. I just saw it yesterday of a DCBS box that's unopened. I keep saying I'm gonna go down there and open it. I just haven't done it yet.
Bad boy, open.
I don't even remember what I bought. I don't even remember what I bought, but I need to do it to see what they got. I need to see what I bought last.
Might have like a Saga number one in there or something.
I know, right? That's what I need. Right? I need to do that.
Because you could have one book in there that will justify that entire box and sell that. It
could be. Exactly.
And then just get rid of the rest. You know what I mean? You get your money back off of one book.
I'll take
it
down.
That's what the hope is, right? I mean, that's what the hope is. You open up and say, hey, I have a Saga number one. I just made my money back.
Exactly. If I could do that on a book that I never even thought, remembered I had, that just aces. That's just all win for me if I do that.
I want to go back to the marriage thing. Sorry. How did the marriage affect your comic collecting, or did it?
It did. We had more bills, so I started to buy less, and then it was 2 years where I bought nothing, and I just got everything.
You bought, nothing at all. You went cold turkey.
I went cold turkey, but I was taking out trades out of the library. Like, I was getting at least 10 to 20 trades a week out of the library. Of everything. Like, I was getting trades of everything.
When you went cold turkey, were you... what year around was this?
It was during 52, actually.
Wow. So you did finish 52, though.
I did go back and finish it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I had to go back and get the first 25 I had, and then I had to go back and get the rest of it after 25. Actually.
Did it ever become a problem, or was it just like financially you couldn't do it?
It was financially I couldn't do it. Like, I just had
to do it. Was it more like a reprimand? Like, you can't do this because...
No, it was a reprimand of myself. Okay. No, she didn't. No, I would have gotten it.
You did it to yourself because of the money constraints.
Right, it was like, I can't justify it to myself doing that, and I can't, and I have to pay, and I have to pay bills. Like, it was just too close.
So it was never bills. Her saying, you gotta stop, get this crap.
No, she would hint that, why do you still buy comic books? And I would respond with, I'm gonna look at you like you fucking crazy.
She said, you're a grown-ass man, what are you buying comic books for?
Yeah, and I would not give a shit, but... No, it stopped because just the bills was just too much. Like, I just had to make decisions that I could pay them.
Yeah.
But I still love comics so much that I would be at the, I would go to the library like every week. I would go there. Not only would I reserve books that were coming out, but I would go just to go. Like I was taking out so many books that I was taking out more. I was ahead of them in terms of trades. Like I was getting out books before they can even get them in. Like new trades were coming in. Like that's how I was going. I was an addict, man. I was getting trades all the fucking time. I had got so many trades that I didn't even know which trades go to, because there's the Queens branch and then there's a New York branch. There's two different ones. Queens has their own thing, and like it was getting to the point where I didn't know what books went to the New York one and which one went to Queens. Like I had so many trades.
We're talking about like when you went cold turkey around 2006, 2007.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So somewhere in there, you just. What year did you start podcasting?
Oof, man, I think probably 2007 or 8, maybe. Huh. I think around that time.
Well, you were the fuck it guy.
That's when I would call into when I was going to work. Yeah, I would call in.
That's how I met you. I heard you for the first time.
All right.
I would listen to Bullpen Bulletins and I said, oh, that's the fucking guy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the fucking guy. I remember that.
And then what? Your first podcast was what?
The Fixers Hideout. I was a guest on that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had the guests on that show. That was for the first time. I remember I had to run from work to get there. Because they recorded that podcast in one room.
That's right.
It was all set up in one room, so we had to record it live. Like, we had to record it there together as a group. There was no Skype.
I got to meet them one year, too.
I think it was Super Show.
Was it Super Show? I think it was Baltimore.
Maybe. Oh yeah, because we did drive down to Baltimore together. That's right, we did.
Yeah, I met Mod at Super Show.
Yeah, you did. You met Mod at Super Show. Yeah.
I don't think the Fixer was there.
No, he wasn't there at Super Show. I don't think he went.
And I'm missing a name. Who else was there?
Kim was there.
Kim. Yeah. Simba. I haven't heard from him in forever. How's he doing?
He moved to Virginia.
And got remarried, right?
No, he did get remarried, but I mean, it was years ago. I mean, he was been with her for a long time.
Before
he got remarried. But, yeah, he's out there now. He's retired and all that. So, he's living that retired life.
That's nice. He must be retired fairly young.
Well, remember, he had a heart condition. He developed a heart condition when he was working corrections.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, and in corrections, if you can prove, you got to go through so much shit to prove it. Like the doctor was like, if you go back to work, you will die. That's how bad it is.
Is he okay, though? Did he have, like, a bypass? Oh,
yeah. Yeah, he did. He did. He did have that. But I mean, even with that, they had to prove it. Like, because corrections, when you get out on disability, you get to keep your salary. You pretty much keep more than 50% of your salary. So they make you really prove it.
He's retired. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I'd like to retire young.
I know. He's in a good spot, though. He retired, and he's like a travel agent now. I think he's doing that.
Oh, nice. So he's got a side job.
He's got a side thing, and he travels. You know, he doesn't travel a lot, so he likes to travel. So he did it at a good... He was able to do it at a good age. Not the way you'd want to do it, with having a heart attack that almost kill you, but... Yeah.
It's all weird how we all met. I mean, it's just really weird. Like, it all starts with the forum and somehow us leading up at some convention.
It totally does.
And actually meeting each other and then forming these friendships. And now we know each other more than probably our own families.
I know.
It's incredible.
We talk more than we do in our own families.
Yeah. So yeah, that's an interesting journey. So now that you've acquired a huge collection of digital, you have them on demand.
Yeah. I still have not read everything that I have on digital. Like, I still do not. I have still not
But
read
you buy a
everything.
lot of sales that, like bulk sales, right?
Oh man, yeah. Do I? And then add to that the Marvel Unlimited. That's a whole nother
Ball game, yeah.
ball game realm of comics, of amount of
Well,
comics to get to.
right now you're getting ready to record a Nerdy Legion, right? Like an Inferno? Is that what you're
Oh
talking to each
yeah.
other?
We're gonna do all of that Inferno, like with the crossovers and everything. Like
How
we're
are
gonna.
you reading that on a limited?
Yeah, you. What they do is they have comic runs of something or events, and if
Yeah.
you look it up by event, it'll list all the books that are connected to the event that they
And
have.
they have all of Inferno?
They actually have all of them, even that fucking Daredevil. Cross Daredevil tie-in where he's fighting a vacuum cleaner for 2 issues. That's the fucking strangest issue
There's
of
some
Daredevil.
strange Daredevils.
Yes, that was the strangest fucking
I
issue
just
ever.
read Daredevil 500, and that continued
That's
from,
Brubaker, right?
yeah, it's Brubaker and Lark.
Yeah, I love that one.
Lady Bullseye. Issue 500 is kind of where he says, "I'm gonna be the leader of the Hand."
Yeah,
It
that's right.
was right
That's right.
before Daredevil the List.
That was the downfall of Daredevil,
Yeah.
because when he did that, when Diggle, Andy Diggle came in and did that, it pretty much ended Daredevil,
Yeah.
and then it got relaunched.
So, the thing that was odd about it was the book they chose to reprint. It was Daredevil 191, which was Frank Miller, and
Yeah.
it is such a weird issue, Daryl. It's the issue right after when Elektra was killed by Bullseye, and then he puts Bullseye in the hospital. Like he can't move.
He
He
beats
can't
him
do
almost to
anything.
death of
He
like
beats him
he
almost to death.
yeah.
And he goes in with a gun
Yeah,
and
and he wouldn't
plays
kill him. Plays Russian roulette
Russian
with him.
roulette with Bullseye. And
Because that shows how crazy he
he
was.
tells him a story about a little black kid that had this crappy father. And it's such a weird story, man.
I think
It's
it made
insane.
and I think that was funny because it that what he did to Bullseye, like he broke him. Like he made him so vulnerable that he almost destroyed Bullseye. Like
Yeah.
he was gonna quit
Yep.
for a bit. And then he got that adamantium skeleton spine so he can walk again. That's when they were
Yeah.
doing that with everybody. Everybody got adamantium something.
Yeah. But
But
this
he
kid,
broke him.
yeah, this kid ended up killing one of his classmates. Like he just turned dark. Daredevil was like his hero. And then I guess he just lost his marbles when he saw Daredevil take out his father, because his father was a criminal. And ended up, the kids were always picking on him in the schoolyard. They picked on him. He brought his father's gun to work, I mean to school, and he killed the kid. And now he's in prison the rest of his life. And
That's a
Daredevil's there telling Bullseye the story with a gun pointed to his head, and it's going click, click, click. It's just weird, man.
And I mean, Bullseye doesn't care about this fucking story. He don't care about
Yeah.
those kids and stuff. He don't give
He
a shit
doesn't.
about
He
that
doesn't give a
stuff.
shit.
But the
Yeah.
fear of thinking this dude, like every time he pulls that trigger, he could kill him. Like he totally fucked him up.
Yeah.
It was almost assault. Like he mentally assaulted him so badly.
It was an interesting book to put into 500 too, because at the time he was going to go lead the Hand, which questions his, I guess, integrity as a hero, right?
I always wondered if they had left out that demon shit, like if they had just had it, because I thought it was interesting if
Oh,
you had it
Shadowlands,
where,
you mean?
Yeah, that's what it turns into, Shadowlands. But it just was interesting, though, that what if Daredevil just eventually just snapped? I mean, and he did kill Bullseye because he just got tired of, you know, all the shit that happened to him.
Yep.
I thought that would be a more interesting story than to have it where it was a cop-out that at the end you find out that it was a demon that did it. That took over his body, and that's why he killed him. Mm-hmm. Like, that totally just, like, ruined it. Like, I thought, it ended in such a way where he killed the first issue had him killing Bullseye at the end. I thought that was a great issue. And then but as it kept going, it just, it killed the podcast. Do you know that Shadowland killed a podcast?
Which podcast?
There was from the Legion of Dudes guys with Russ and Jim they were doing they used to do a Daredevil podcast, and they were, because they really loved Bendis's run.
Yeah.
And then Brubaker.
Yeah.
And then when it got to the end of Shadowland, Shadowland got really bad towards the end, like after the, you know, when the demon and all that kind of stuff, it got really bad. Like eventually, little by little,
It just killed him.
And then the book ended, and then they ended the book.
I've always preferred the darker Daredevil. Like, I don't know why, but like from Frank Miller on, I've always thought the character was dark, and I've enjoyed it. And then when Wade lightened it up a little bit, it just felt off to me. Like I still enjoy it, and he's still one of my favorite characters.
I like him better dark.
My favorite characters are in the Marvel U that I don't think I'll ever quit are Daredevil and Black Panther. You know, those are my favorite. And I like Defenders, but they never have a title.
No, they never get a title. They always tease me like they're going to do it, and it's not the Defenders that I thought.
Yeah. But I am starting to read a lot of X-Men. I didn't read a lot of the old stuff. I mean, I read some of the key stuff that Claremont did. But I don't know why, but that early stuff, it never appealed to me. It was weird.
It's a lot to read.
Yeah, it's a lot to read.
It's a lot to read, though. Like, you just getting... I mean, if you really want to read it, there's not a... I guess there's never a place that you can really dip into something that's been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
But I mean, X-Men got to the point where it was just so much stuff going on. Like, there were just so many different stories.
So do you think in a few years that we'll be on, like, a Netflix-type subscription service for books, like, that just come out? Or do you think that's...
It's hard to say, because we haven't hit that moment. Like, even recently, this year, comic sales went up a bit. Like, paper sales went up a bit. So I don't know what it's going to be, what thing is going to be the thing to make us hit that saturation point. Like, I don't know if it would be, because even with the Marvel Unlimited,
I think if there's another crash like the 90s, it could be the end, though.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know what would be, I don't know when that crash will hit, because...
It could be the market, I mean, the publishers kill it with all these variants.
They're trying. It's not even just variants. It's variants. It's books, like shipping right now. Like Marvel ships like 170 something books, and DC is like not far behind with 130 or something like that books. Like,
they obfuscate it by putting out more.
Mm-hmm.
Putting out more for less, and it looks like they sold more, but that's to the retailer, it's not to the person.
Well, they said, this is what they're saying, that DC sold more books, more comics, individual comics, but Marvel
has the unit, has the
more expensive.
Share.
Yeah, because Marvel's books are more expensive. They have more books that are more expensive than the average. There are more $4.99 books, Marvel books, than there were.
If I was DC right now, I'd be happy because in my mind, you could go to you know, your higher ups because you're always right. trying to and say, hey, you know what? I'm outselling Marvel. I mean, we have lower cost, but we are outselling their books right now. And that's like an odd thing to be doing for DC. Like, they always do it during relaunches, but they've been consistently the last couple of months outselling units.
They haven't been panicking. Right, they haven't been panicking. But I think what's helped it also is that Marvel has had issues of late in terms of the books that they have going down in sales quickly. Like, they might have more number ones, and they might, you know, and more variants, but with the problems they're having, and they said it themselves too, is that once the books start to go down very quickly, they start to plummet in orders after the gimmicks are done.
Yeah.
And it's like, but how do you still keep the books going without doing more gimmicks when the books go down every time they do a gimmick? So I don't know. Like, the books that they want to be hits are not the books that are hits. Like, you, like right now they're pushing, like, for the last, I would say, 6 months, they have been saying that this Captain America book, both those Captain America books, are very important for the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
But you look at the sales on those books, and they're not very good. Now, I'm sure when Empire starts the event, I mean, I'm sure it'll probably sell very well. Because it's events. Events usually do. But then what do you do after the event is over? And then the Captain America books go back down to their, you know, their regular selling point. Like, that's the, you know, that's the problem.
Yeah.
So you...
I think DC's in a good place, and I think with this, it seems like they're making headway towards this Watchmen thing. You know, lately we saw stuff in Superman, right? We saw, I can't remember the last book I read. It was one other book. Was it the Green Lanterns? I don't remember what it was. There was another key where
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
Mr.
Oz was watching.
And I can't remember which book it is either. And I know what you're talking about because I can see the panel. I can see the panel in the book at the end. But I can't remember if it was a Superman book or was it...
Well, I know on Superman they've been doing that all the time. Titans, they have done stuff in the annual, right?
What? Maybe it was the Teen Titans annual. I mean, not the Teen Titans, the Titans annual.
Well, Titans annual, we have
the key.
The key, and then an unknown villain that was guiding the key. They didn't reveal it yet. Man, it was something I just read.
Oh, was it Nightwing?
Was it Hal? Ah, I can't remember. I think it was. It was. Did you read Hal Jordan in the Green Lantern Corps, the latest?
Yeah, when Kyle
when Kyle did something with the ring.
He split
the White Wing open, trying to bring back Hope, and he ended up making a bunch of colored rings. Right, they all.
You're trying to bring back the Guardians, trying to bring back the Guardians to life, and it wound up splitting off,
splitting off and forming other rings, and
so now he's just Kyle with the Green Lantern.
Right, that was where there's a Mr. Oz saying something about the ring splitting.
I think so too.
I think that's the one.
I think that is the one.
So they're starting to acknowledge stuff like all over, and we're supposed to see like the Emerald Empress inside of Supergirl, you know?
Right.
So that could be the Legion of Superhero stuff. You know, we've seen Saturn Girl appear in Batman, you know, writing the Legion signal on the, mm-hmm. the window. You know, there's been all kinds of little things. And with the button coming out, you know, there could be some major ramifications in the next year, you know, and what's going on.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't even know, because Meta is coming out, and it said multiple Earths, so multiple universes will be affected. So I guess,
yeah,
I guess that can connect with that whole thing.
So, anything else you want to say? Oh, I want to bring up just a couple of random topics, because I want to know what your opinion is on this. Because I have an opinion. I don't think it's the popular opinion, but I'm looking at it from a money perspective.
Okay.
So, you know the Axel Alonso thing?
Uh-huh.
You know how he said something about, well, you know, diversity isn't working for us? Do you think he's basing that off of sales numbers and blaming it on diversity? In other words, he's looking at, like, the sales of Moon Girl and the sales of Mosaic, you know, like some characters that are definitely not non-white, looking mm-hmm. at the sales of Invincible Girl and making that determination. What do you think's driving that comment that, you know, that they tried diversity? And
I think some of it is, and I think when you look at, because I don't think they want, like, I think Marvel doesn't, first of all, Marvel's not the company that like to admit when they do things wrong, right?
Yeah.
They're usually the company where they usually strut, you know, they strut and, you know, that's their thing.
Being the top dog.
Right. So, it's weird because they, like, he kind of tried to put it in simple terms, but it wasn't, because some of his books, like, it's like you pick and choose. It's like saying, like, he's saying the diverse books aren't working, but that's not exactly correct, because when you actually look and see, like, some of the diverse books are working, some of them aren't selling. Like, Thor is selling.
Thor sold better as a woman than he did as a
man. Right, yeah. Exactly. Miss Marvel is selling better than most, especially with the trade market.
Well, wasn't Miss Marvel selling better than Captain Marvel, or is that not true?
To a point, it was. Yeah. To a point in time, yeah, it was. Captain Marvel is not really a high seller. Really a high seller. Iron Man either. Like, Iron Man, Bendis is on it now, but yeah, but when he's not on it, like, if it's not a writer who's very popular, the books go, it goes pretty much goes back down to the regular, like, the 30,000
mark,
like with Cap. So they kind of, like, sell the same amount. But,
But he's probably basing that off of his sales figures, don't you think?
I'm sure for some of the books, like the Squirrel Girl stuff and some of the like Sam Wilson, for example, doesn't sell very well either. It's a pretty low selling book.
But the thing is, I don't think color matters to Axel Alonso. I think the color green matters to Axel Alonso. Money.
Oh, of course. That's the thing, though. A lot of people kind of want to think one company is one way and another company is not. Like, there's some people who fall into that, the thing of, they think everybody in DC is horrible. You know, they all treat everybody badly. It's not a good company. Like, you know, there is the perception. There is the perception of that, right? They don't do good books like Marvel does. That's the perception. And then other people look at Marvel and there's a perception of that they treat writers better and that they, you know, they care about their employees and all that kind of stuff. And I would say, and my thing has always been, both companies care about money.
Yeah,
it's not, the color, they never cared about. They never gave a shit about.
They will never disrupt anything until they stop losing money.
The only thing that makes them change their way of doing things.
If you're making money, they're going to leave you alone.
They're fine. You're fine. But if you're not, you're done.
If you keep everybody fed and happy at the table, we're not going to bother you.
We won't bother you.
You go about your own business.
but plain and simple, it's a company like Matt Fraction, Remender, Brubaker. They all left because Marvel was going heavy with the, and they said it, they were going heavy with the they didn't want it. They told them basically, like, you want to do Cap, but you can't do Cap all by himself. Like, it's going to have to connect with other books. Iron Man is going to be the same thing. And they had no choice. That's like, either you stay with Marvel and do these books that are going to connect and go into an event, or don't, which is your choice. Mm-hmm. And they were lucky enough because of the popularity that they have and that they can sell Marvel enough Image books that they can live off of, or some of them have deals with movie and you know, on the writing side, that they get money doing that they could live off of it. So they're fortunate enough to be able to say, you know what, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do any event stuff for a while. I want to do my own thing. So they left. So they basically left.
He also made a remark, though, about, like, people from Image wanting to come back.
He said some, and I agree. There are some.
He says 'cause Image, they left at a bad time or something like that.
Well, not everybody is... not everybody will have the popularity of a Robert Kirkman. Like, it's funny, because Robert Kirkman always talks about you should do creator own.
Yeah.
But...
they try, and then they're in the selling in the 3,000.
You threw a lot of shit at the wall before you got
success.
Walking Dead. Yeah. There, you have more failures, though, than you and do that's not. Still, like,
that still boggles my mind. It really does, because before Walking Dead, man, zombies were kind of like a George Romero thing.
That was all they were. That was all they were.
It was that or a knockoff of George Romero.
Yeah.
And they had success with that, but more like, would you say, like, B-film type success? You know?
Yeah, it was a passing fad.
It's like a cult following.
A cult following. They were never mainstream hits.
On paper, you look at a black and white comic coming from Image, and you just don't think
it shouldn't work.
Yeah. Why should this blow up? You know, why
even Kirkman thought was ready for it to get canceled.
Even the people that watched the TV show, you would never think that they would watch a zombie show.
Why would they?
They don't even watch like horror shows. Like, why are they watching?
It's not even on a. It's not even on a mainstream network station.
Yeah.
And it does even with the loss in ratings. For this recent season, it's still doing better than most mainstream network television for their time, for that time. Like, it outdid, the ratings were better than the football games that were coming on at that time, which is a big deal. Football has has high ratings for the Sunday Night Football. It was beating that. Like,
there's something really weird, and I haven't figured it out yet.
Figured it out. No one's figured it out, because if they did, Image would do it. There would be 20, 30 Walking Dead comics out here right now.
Yeah.
If that was the case, Marvel and DC would do 50 to 60
zombie Walking comics. Dead There'd be comics. Zombie there's zombie comics everywhere.
But them shits don't work. You can't do another one and sell that much. It just doesn't work that way. Mostly, you know the deal. We've read comics long enough. Most of those comics people love so much, they were throwing shit at the wall. They just so happened to stick.
But it's weird that they struck gold with zombies. It's so weird to me.
At a certain time and place, though.
Yeah. I almost think, like, the timing, like, he either sold his soul to the devil...
Yes.
Or did something like that.
I think he did.
Or he just hit the right moment, like at the
Even Marvel Zombies, eventually people got tired of that shit and it started to fail. And now it's gone. There is no more Marvel Zombies anything. Remember that?
Yeah.
It's
not like he didn't like break a mold.
Nope.
Like if you go watch Night of the Living Dead or Dawn of the Dead, the zombies are not the story. It's the people that are trying to survive. It's the same formula.
Same formula.
He didn't the formula.
Nothing new. He didn't change. He didn't do anything that was special than anything else. Nothing at all. People trying to kill other people. You're in a zombie apocalypse. You have people who are more evil than the zombies killing other people.
Yeah.
Done before. Not new. None of that's new. He just got Invincible, right? He just got Invincible optioned. It took this long for Invincible to be optioned. He's been trying to get this shit optioned since I was married.
Yeah.
And no one touched it. Nobody wanted to touch it.
But on the other side, Outcast, I don't think has had...
ain't doing shit.
Yeah.
The Cinemax show is not doing well. If no one talks about it, the ratings are okay. The ratings are... If it wasn't for the fact that it was... that they got a Kirkman to sign a deal to do it, if this was just a regular TV show that they did at Cinemax, it would have been canceled.
Yeah.
But because it's a Kirkman thing, I bet you it probably got 2 years. It probably got... when they decided to put together this deal, part of it, the incentive probably was we'd give it 2 years off the bat. And guess what? It ain't hit with nobody. It only does okay.
Yeah.
So,
well, even like he hasn't struck gold with any other property comic-wise.
No, he's none of the other stuff has struck gold.
That thing out saying you really need to do for your own, but people have tried it. You know, they put it out and
Image comes out with so many books, even Image is hurting other Image books. Because it's like, if you're not a well-known writer, if you're not a Brian K. Vaughan or a Matt Fraction or a Jason Aaron or somebody like that, a lot of books just got lost in the shuffle. Like, nobody gave them a second thought. Because there are a lot of books that come out of Image. You know, how many post-apocalyptic books have come out of Image? How many
sci-fi? I think there's at least three a week.
Yeah. How many futuristic sci-fi comics come out of Image on a regular basis? Like, it is so many to the point where it's hurt. It's just like when Marvel... They come out with so many books that some Marvel books hurt other Marvel books, not just other comics, but they hurt their own bottom line. DC as well. When you do too many, you hurt your own. When too many books come out a week, you hurt your own sales because you got to make choices. It's like, I got to get that, you know, $4.99. Batman book or $4.99 Superman book because they mean something to the universe. So that means you're not going to buy the New Adventures of Superman or the new Superman. You're not going to try, you know, like those little titles like that. If you have to make those choices, most people make the choices and they buy the ones that they feel are relevant to the universe as a whole, as opposed to buying. You know, the side books.
When they say like creators selling books versus characters selling books, I truthfully believe that characters sell books more if you're in the big two. But once you go out, it'll be like more creator driven. I think some creators will drive up sales, but I think if you put a creator, let's just take Tom King. You put Tom King on Batman, he's gonna sell a lot. I mean, Batman is the index for sales. Right. It has been forever since always. They started showing that. It's the index for a reason. Like it,
he's a dick. Like all the sales are built on this.
But right. If you go back and look at Tom King's Omega Men or you Tom King's Vision, they are critically acclaimed. Okay,
right.
They have high buzz. The people that are reading them are usually really up on it. But if you look at it from a sales perspective, they're not breaking any, a lot of bank. They may be like doing well in trades for that type of character, but it's still low,
Yeah.
So that's why I start to think, and you can do this with other characters. You can put your big names on certain books. I think characters in Marvel and DC sell more than the creators behind it. So Axel Alonso took a stab at artists, saying, well, an artist's name won't sell like it used to, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's basing everything he's saying on statistics, and he's basing everything he's saying on green in the facts that he knows. Because money's money.
Money, but what hurts him is prior to that, it's doublespeak because he's spoken like that's not what we're in the business for. Like the way that he would talk about the business model of Marvel is like it's more about getting the creative, we want to do the best for the creators. We want to, when you put up that perception, I think when you pull the facade off and you realize it is about business too. I think that's what hit people. I already knew when I saw that it wasn't something where I sat there going, "Oh man, that's how could he say such things?" I already knew that that's how he felt. We always have this conversation with Chuck when he gets into his superheroes ain't the way that I liked them back in the day.
Yeah.
And I always say it's not about. You can try to vilify whoever you want
it's
to vilify.
It's not about what you want. It's about
it
green.
Ain't about
it's
what
about
you
green.
Want.
It's,
and back in the day when you liked those books, it was about green back then too.
Yeah.
It was always about green. Like it just so happened that it's about green and also you liked those books.
Yeah.
You saw those books and you liked them. So, but I think what hurt Marvel is that they've been able to have that, that Teflon Don perception of they're the ones that care about care about the comic industry, and DC are the old fogies who are corporate and they don't care about people. They treat everybody, creators badly. So now it's like, oh, guess what? Now both companies have shown that they care about money, and there are some writers and artists that get treated well, and then there are some that do not.
Yeah.
It depends
but,
on
but
who you
I, but
are.
I think as a whole, based on what I read from the creators, I think that DC treats their creators better.
You're pulling out facts, because what do creators get at DC? You get royalties.
Yeah.
You create things, you get royalties.
Sure. Starlin was saying, hey, I mean, they used KGB Beast by name.
Yes,
They didn't even call him KGB Beast.
The pay rate.
They just used his name.
Yeah.
And he said, I made more money out of this than I did for all the Marvel movies.
Right.
With Thanos and everything else.
And then, I mean, they don't really like to talk about it, but it's true. I know factually, I know this. The pay rates for the artists and writers are higher at Marvel than they are at DC.
They're higher.
That's a fact.
Well, they're higher at Marvel.
I mean, higher at DC, I'm sorry.
Higher at DC, yeah.
Yeah, the pay rates for creators, for writers, artists, pencilers, letterers, all of it's higher at DC than it is at Marvel.
But would you say that having a job in the comic industry is like kind of like being in professional sport, like you're only as good as you're playing, right?
Always.
So like you're always under the gun. Every time you put out an issue, that has to be, I think, your best. Try to be your best, because you could lose it the next couple of months. You could lose your job.
And the only way you can is, I mean, you can be in a position where, like a Jason Aaron is in a better position than most, right, at Marvel. Bendis is another. Like, they've proven to be very popular writers there. So they can do more things and say no to things more than the average writer can. Their other writers have to just deal with what you have to deal with. You don't get to choose what you get. That type of thing. Like, that could just, you know, that's just the way it is. So, I mean, if Marvel tomorrow could set it up where they could hire Keith Knudsen to write
Snake Eyes.
They could Snake Eyes, right? If you can write anything, like, just write whatever book it is, and it will sell 50,000 copies. But you get to pay Keith less because he's new, and as opposed to if you had Bendis or someone, you have to pay them more because they're veterans. They've been here longer.
Yeah.
If they could get away with, the only reason why it doesn't happen a lot is because they know the book by Keith Knudsen might not do as well as the book by Bendis. So we just can't get rid of all of our veteran writers because they do bring in some. They do bring in a certain following. Also, the story quality is better a lot of times. So even if a book is selling okay, you want it to sell well and not for people to say it stinks. You don't want it, because eventually it will hurt the book. I mean, the numbers, even if they're high, they're not, like, certain books need to be higher. They're not happy if Batman goes down to 60,000 copies. That's still higher than most.
But that's a failure DC ain't in their happy. Eyes.
That's a failure.
They want it to at least be in the top 20.
Right.
And
I think they
in their minds they have expectations to be in the top 10.
Yes. Every month.
If Batman isn't in the top 10,
it failed.
You failed.
Failed. You
even
totally failed.
And you can be selling like 70,000 copies after you pass 10. You know?
Yeah. Well, look at Tony Daniel. His detective run, it didn't end low.
Yeah.
If it was a different book, that'd be a success.
Yeah.
But it started to go down into the 60s. And for a Batman book to be down into the 60s and 50s,
well, detective,
they're not happy.
Detective right now is in the 60s, isn't it?
I'm sure they're not happy with that either. But it's double shipping. I think that it kind of helps.
Oh, them so now they consider it 120.
Yeah, exactly. But if it's once a month, that's not something they're happy with. And they make changes, you know. Like, but you can't make. But that's, I think that's the thing too. You can't make a writer popular by, you can't just say, declare this writer is going to be the guy. You know, like, I think they try to do that and it never works. You could do that as much as you want to, and it never works that way. It just so happens little by little they build their way, because Jason Aaron did that. Bendis did that. He came from the indie stuff. He didn't. Yeah, he wasn't popular.
Detective Comics is at 59,630 now.
Yeah, so you consider two books a month.
Well, I think that one of them is above. One's at 62,000, and one is below. So, I guess if it keeps that downward trend,
then they're going to start. They'll make a change. They're going to make a change.
At the same time, Detective is ranked 12th. That's pretty high.
That is pretty high.
We're talking about the 300. That to be ranked in the top 20s.
Oh, then that's pretty good.
I would be saying, hey, that's really good.
Well, then that's better than not. But that's what I'm saying. You can't just look at it like you can't. You have to look at the whole context of it. Like, where is it in the how many copies is it selling? Where is it in the rankings? Like, what else came out that time? Like, was there a big thing coming out by another company at the time? Like, all these little things you have to to look at.
Yeah.
To see what it's competing with. You just can't say it sold this, so it's a failure, or it sold that and it wins. Like, that's not how it goes. There's other things that have to be looked at when you're doing that. But again, you can't. They would love, DC and Marvel would love to be able to be like, no matter who we give whoever to, Thor, Captain America, whoever, it's going to sell a good amount. At least, but it doesn't work that way. So they know that they have to keep
certain talent,
right? They know they have to because they're not going to say. Usually, a company won't say it out loud, but that's true. If they could get away with not paying you, if they could get away with paying you less, they would. Or getting somebody else who they don't have to pay.
You don't even have to be in comics. You could be in other occupations too.
It's the same deal. If we can pay you, if we can pay you less for the same amount of work, we would. We definitely would. But that's how the business goes. What I think. But when in comics, people they sell things because they're trying to sell you on it. You know, we're not mean. We're not bad. We're the good guys.
And you could even be like, I think you could have a comic that's gold and it just hits the wrong time. Like it just comes out at the wrong time.
Or just people ain't interested in that genre, whatever genre you have it in. At that given time, doesn't matter.
They've oversaturated the market with that genre.
Yeah. Are they oversaturated?
You might be the best, but you might be third to come out.
Exactly. So it just didn't hit. It didn't hit at the time.
Bad break.
That's what winds up. That's exactly what winds up happening. It winds up being a bad break. If Omega Man had came out, like if Batman had come out
first
before Omega Man, it might have done a little bit better than it did.
Or if Omega Man came in after Vision,
right? Or it might have been
because you would have brought over potential Vision.
Exactly. Things, right? But guess what? It didn't.
It didn't.
And the sales were what the sales were.
Yeah.
So, and on top of that, it's funny. Tom probably made more money off of Omega Man that was considered a failure than he did on Vision. That's considered
a success,
a hit, like
Vision's even getting a director's cut or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
They're gonna director's cut the whole series,
right?
So that's like what, 12 issues? They're gonna do like two an issue.
Mm-hmm. Because it's still doing that well in the book market, the non-comic shop market. Yeah. It's doing very well for them.
It's pretty fascinating.
It's so much stuff that goes into this stuff, but I mean, people can't forget it is a business. Like when it's not a thing where they personally they don't care. It might be sad, but it's true.
I still think these variants though kill things.
Of course they do, because they don't.
And if they even if you have smart ownerships and they know how to recoup the cost, like by selling the 1 in 100, the 1 in 50, you still have they're taking away space.
Mm-hmm.
Space costs money. You pay.
And think
rent,
of it this
you
way:
pay
and
rent per square footage.
And you're teaching me, like, if you're telling me I only make 20,000. But because I get a little bit of a bonus for doing certain things and I make $50,000 instead, I am living now thinking I'm living off of $50,000. So I'm always, every plan that I make, the way that I live my life, it's going around on the thought that I make $50,000, right? So what happens if the things that I do for that bonus to make $50,000 ends. They don't do it no more. So now I'm doing $20,000. Mm-hmm. I'm not living in my means. I'm not living in my means. I'm in trouble. Yeah. That's what you teach these comic stores. they are living off of these variants that sell this certain amount of copies. So they're planning everything, that their plans on how they sell things, how they move product. It's all about thinking they're making that much, right?
Yeah.
If these variants eventually, if people go, you know what? I know I'm rich, but you go, I don't give a fuck about these variants no more. I'm not buying no more variants. I'm done. They're trouble. That store is in trouble.
But like, because you, I really think like a 1 in 500 and a 1 in 1,000 is ridiculous.
It is. It's inflated. It's inflated. Number. It inflates the numbers more. It's not a regular number. It's not a normal. It's not normal sales. It's not saying you are selling exactly what your customers like. The stuff you're ordering is going out.
I wish they would flag that. Like, I wish that the orders would flag it. Like. On the sales numbers, like, you can see, like, why did Venom sell so much? Oh, there was a 1 in McFarlane, 1 in 1,000.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Because there's always a story behind. Like a
little asterisk, because it's ridiculous. It's not going to sell. It's not going to sell that much. Let's get real. Yep.
Don't be like, real. So
Exo Manowar is probably going to be at 60,000 copies. You know why? Because there's
because
there's some rich fucking Valiant fans that can afford a 1 in 500 and a bunch of stores that can afford to sell that 1 in 500 and have 500 copies of the book unsold.
Now, what do you think it's going to sell after issue 9? What do you think by issue 9, what is that book going to be selling?
I mean, based on the sales, I'd say 7,000 copies.
There you go.
They don't have any books under that are above 10,000 right now.
Nope.
And they only have 6 books coming out now.
So again, you're like, and that's what happened in the 90s. Like you had people selling all these copies. They were selling all these variants and this and that. And eventually people were like, I'm done. I'm out.
Well, like I think they're doing is they're bleeding their existing customers.
Oh, they are.
Because they're not attracting new people. They're taking from the people that are willing to spend more to get all the variants.
Well, new people don't care about variant covers. They don't even know what a fucking variant cover is.
And they don't care about XO.
They don't care about any of that shit. they don't care about any.
They care about Batman and they care about Spider-Man.
Like, that's all they know is if there's a woman I know, a chick I know, who asked me how she could get into, she wants to buy, she liked Catwoman and stuff like that and wants to buy she wanted to buy Batman, right? Yeah. She didn't know how to get started in it. Like, should I buy single issues? Should I do trades? She didn't even know what a trade, I made a mistake in throwing out terms. She didn't know what the fuck I was talking about. I said, you can just get the trade. And she was like, what the fuck is a trade? I don't know what that is.
You know what? To a new person, the best thing advice I would say is to go to the library and see if you like it.
I did, but she said she wanted to own it. She said she would rather own it. She's a teacher. She said she would rather buy it and own it. So I said, okay. So I directed her to.
But what is her motivation? Does she love
her motivation character? Is she likes Batman and she likes Batman villains. So she wants to try it. So I said, well.
But is she looking at it from a collector mentality?
No, she didn't care about it. No. Not a collector mentality, but she likes to have paper in her hand. She doesn't like reading stuff. Digitally. She likes to own it, and she doesn't like reading digitally. She likes to. She's a teacher, so she's kind of old school with that part. She likes to have paper. When she reads a book, she likes to read the book, not.
That's a weird thing that I don't know when that nut's going to crack for me. I don't know if it will.
But, I don't think it will. I don't think it will. Unless it lets it take it away from you.
I think it has to do with me working on a device all day. At a screen all day. And then associating the screen with work.
That's probably what it is.
Working at paper, it's like something different that I don't experience at work. So it's refreshing.
Probably, because that is your thing. Like, you spend a crazy amount of hours dealing with
Screens.
Screens. I mean, that's coding. Like, you talked about coding. I didn't know what the fuck you were talking about. You and Bill were talking about coding. You fucking went in another world. I was like, what is going on? I don't know what you're talking about. You just lost me. I was totally dumb. I had the little spinning circles over my head. Like, I didn't know what the fuck that meant. And you were talking about it like it was just a regular thing. Like, you were just talking regular. Like, I had coffee this morning, and I did bloopity-blop. And then we do bloopity-blop and bloopity-bli. And then you were talking other languages. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Do you realize that most of us don't know what the fuck you're saying?
And yeah, you probably. And,
You are reading computer language. We don't know what the fuck that is.
Yeah.
So of course you're sick of it.
I think we were talking about like the making fun of Alexa. Is that in the you how we're using probably. old Fortran code instead of modern day technologies?
Probably, yeah. But you went into like. But you naturally went into it like, I could tell you do that shit every day. It's like normal. Like, I looked at the code and then I did it backwards and then I did it this. And then I was like, what? But you just, it's normal for you. But for the average person, it's not. Like, it's not a normal thing. It's a big thing. We had to do what you did. I'd be in front of my computer with tears in my eyes if I had to try to
get. You might be reading paper.
Or I might be reading paper, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. So it's different. Like, I work on the computer too, but I don't have to do what you're doing.
I love to take my glasses off and just read, you know, just like read a book or comic books. I like to sit and read comic books.
Mm-hmm.
It's refreshing. But
it is refreshing.
Space gives me. I wish I had like this, like teleporter where I could just like teleport these things in and out. You know,
your description of what you have to do to keep that shit in order.
Yeah.
Just to keep that stuff off the stove. It gives me anxiety. That gives me anxiety. What you're just talking about. What you're talking about. When I had to go in that basement and try to, and I remember, I think I remember saying to myself, like, trying to put this and that, and eventually I just looked at all of it, and I think I just said, fuck it, I'm out. Like, I don't have the joy that I used to have of looking through this shit. It's not there anymore. It became work. Well, that's when I was like, I'm out. I can't.
The one part that always makes me get close or say, ask Barb's question, when is enough enough, is when I have to merge. Like,
that's such a pain in the ass.
Take titles that I haven't read and just merge them to put them in order, because it's not easy. You fill a box, you have to have empty boxes, and you have to keep boxes half full so you can add more books to the box.
That shit is all day. I remember taking
it's horrible.
All day to do that shit. And then at the end of the day, I'm sweating, I'm tired. I didn't want to read one book.
So there's two aspects that I hate. The merge, and I hate lifting boxes.
Other thing, yeah. I do that at work. I don't want to do that there. I already do that shit at work, but I'm dealing with shipment.
That's why you'd rather carry around an iPad.
I give me an iPad and a Kindle, and I'm just fine. Like, I just want to read it. I just want to read it.
Did you ever buy a new iPad yet, or not yet?
Not yet. I keep.
I'm still holding on to
mine until it don't work no more, because I know what I can do. I mean, if I don't want to spend full price on it right away, I have good. I have a AT&T, which. I'm in good standing with AT&T because I've always had them. Like, I've been a customer with AT&T so long that if anything, like, when they look up my, when I call in or something and they look up my account, they go, oh, shit. Like, they've slipped and said that when they look at the account.
Yeah.
And they don't want to lose me. If I start talking about leaving, they would get shit for that. Like, you lost a customer that's been there that long. Like, you're the asshole that made us lose this dude. That's been paying his bills on time this long, right? Yeah. So they have a thing where you could get the new, you can actually just add, it will only cost you a couple extra dollars on your monthly bill, and you could get the next iPad, the new iPad to go with your phone. And it just, and basically it's like,
share the data, right?
And yeah, you can share the data and all that. And I have unlimited data. So, I mean, it doesn't even matter to me. But you can, it's like leasing a car. The way they hook up the phones now, if you want to, it's like leasing a car. You pay it off. You can either pay the little monthly installment until it's paid up, or you put down a bunch.
Expense until you get a new one. Yeah.
Exactly. And the incentive for doing that also is that if anything happens to my iPad, they will repair it for the most part, unless it's something major, like I did something major to it. But if it's just regular repair stuff, I can take it, send it in. Right. If I did a dick portal and tried to put it in the iPad, then they're going to ask me some questions and I'm in trouble. But for the most part, they'll repair it for me and then I'm done. So I think because I know in the back of my mind I can get it whenever I want to, my iPad still works just pretty much the same. It doesn't really give me any problems.
You're actually not in my mode where nothing works.
Because let my apps not work.
Yeah.
You're going to see a picture of me with a new iPad because I called in and did it. Because let me not be able to access my
comics. Which apps drive that? Like, what would kill it? Like, Comixology?
If I lost Comixology, I'm out. I have to. Yeah. Because if I lost Comixology, that means I would lose Marvel Unlimited. Because they all pretty much, those apps run on the same things, the same programs you need.
So, like, so Marvel Unlimited, Comixology, the DC app, and
Image. I have Image. And, like, if I lose that, there's no reason for me to even have an iPad. Because my iPad and
Netflix is, app, probably, right? I mean,
well, Netflix I watch on my phone. I don't take my, because I don't take my iPad.
You don't mind watching something on a smaller screen, like.
That's how I watch TV now, for the most part. Because I can't watch, I don't have time to watch it at home. You know, the amount of shows I watch, I only watch it. I only can watch these shows because I can watch it on my phone, on my commute back.
I wonder what you're going to think of my movie. Oh, my God.
Oh, damn. I got to get to that this week.
That's
to watch any. I didn't watch nothing. I gotta get to it.
It wasn't what I expected. It's pretty
crazy. Oh, was it?
It's pretty crazy, yeah.
We've been there before. We made some picks where we thought a movie was going to be one thing, and then
it wound up being. I liked it. It's just really weird.
I don't think we ever pick regular movies.
I haven't watched yours or Keith's yet. I'll probably start. I might watch yours at night because I think Barb wants to, like, she wouldn't mind seeing Duran or whatever that, you know, the boxer. But I'll watch Keith's in the morning, the train to
Busan. You gotta be wide awake to watch Keith's, is what you're saying.
I posted the movies and everybody said that his is awesome. Like, everybody said it's great.
I didn't
pick his movie. He was drunk.
That's right. So I didn't even put it on my thing.
I picked it for him.
Oh, I got to.
Remember I told him, Ken said you should watch this, Keith? And then I said, I'll pick it for you. And
He was too drunk to pick.
He went into that mode where he could have won another 4 hours of podcasting. Yeah, he wanted to review every single movie. And Dr. Johnny Fever, like, the drunker I get, the longer I can stay up.
He's like, know? 4 hours later, he's like, all right, let's talk about these movies.
And then me and you were like, Keith, we're not going to talk about the movies. And he says, well, I'm ready to talk about these movies.
He's like, why are you making me watch these movies? We ain't going to talk about these movies. I thought we were going to talk about these movies. Like, 5 hours later, we were going to talk about these. Keith, come on, man.
I can't believe we didn't get any complaints.
He didn't get none. I think he's being nice. Maybe he held off. He didn't let us know. There had to be some hate mail somewhere.
I asked him. He said no.
No?
Yeah. I thought there would be at least one of their fans that's used to getting comic talk and said, "What the hell is this?"
Because we got complaints, dude. We got complaints for the rush.
I know we did. So why are you guys talking comics? What the fuck?
Like, what all this fucking comic talk going on in here? What is this shit about? What's all this about? Sounding all professional and shit. What is this?
Yeah. All right, well, I think we could wrap this one up.
All right.
So thanks for coming on. It was pretty much just a regular show.
Yes.
Talking about anything, but
pretty much.
We got to learn your collecting and where you're at now, and it's pretty much all digital, and it's pretty much where you're gonna stay. Like I don't ever see you switching back.
They'd have to take it away from me. Just like with you, they would have to take it away from you to change it.
It would have to be an EM pulse.
Yeah, they'd have to take it away from me.
Take away all electronics. They'd have to.
I just have to get used to it. I'd
launch the nukes.
Yeah, I just have to get used to it. I have no choice.
That's what the next device you need is some EM pulse protector on your iPad.
Exactly. I'll jump right back on. I'll be ready to go.
All right. Well, I hope tomorrow works out well.
And, me too.
We'll talk to you possibly on Tuesday. Are we doing a?
I would hope so. Yeah. So far, the plan is yes, unless anything changes, anything drastic changes that.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you later, my brother.
All right, bro.
Have a good night.
You too.
Bye.
Later.